The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, so talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And the number is 347-945-5229, and it is 8 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on the 3rd of June. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Fast.
Wow. And Jeff's here in the studio with me, the 3rd of June. It is mid-year.
It's cold outside, too.
Yeah, I know. It's a little chilly. It's a little chilly. Our prayers go out to Oklahoma still, because they've been getting hit upside the head. So our prayers go out to them, and I hope everyone had a great weekend. I know I did. I had a very, very good weekend. How was your weekend, Jeffrey?
I'm pretty decent. I can't complain.
Pretty decent? Is that all?
Yeah, that's decent. I mean, it could have been better. Could have been better.
I had a great weekend.
I know you did. You did a lot. You did fun stuff. I did work stuff.
I did work stuff. Want to congratulate Dr. Al Bright. We had a gallery opening over in Pittsburgh, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on in the week. But they're going to be doing jazz and art on, I want to say, next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Their arts department, arts cultural arts of Pittsburgh. It was a really nice, and they had a gallery opening over there with him. He is a local professor here and a local artist here in the Mahoning Valley. So I just want to congratulate him on his showing on Friday night. Because I got to go over there and hang out with him for a little while. Quite a few people came in from Youngstown.
Uh-huh.
Glad to see them, and it was pretty cool. So I want to say that. And what else did I do? Oh, listen, we got to put together a marketplace downtown, like a warehouse district.
Oh yeah, we could do that, but they're getting ready to do some. Well, you know what? No, that has nothing to do with nothing. I was getting ready to say something that does not exist. Okay, I saw something that they're going to do a red, black, and green marketplace on the south side, and I mixed it up with what they wanted to do downtown because see, they were going to do a marketplace downtown, but it was messing up the parking patterns when they tried it. So you need to have a whole total district to do it in, like you're saying. So, you know, where you put that at would be the...
Downtown.
Well, of course downtown, but where downtown?
Downtown over by the Social Security Administration and or over by the Commerce, right there around that Commerce, where the Commerce Bend is, over by the tire shop.
But okay.
What made it so great was there were restaurants, so you could go in and out of stores, but there was people outside.
Yeah.
The corners were set up where you had – it was a warehouse district. It was a old – they could actually put that down on Andrews Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not now. Okay, but we can find
saying.
A place.
You
it was pretty cool the way they had it going on, and I was very, very impressed with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we need something – it was awesome. People were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
take it away, because I gotta get this guy in here to do my computer.
Jeez, old man.
So talk about this. Look at this. The storms.
About the storm. The man died.
Did you see three of them died? No. Not just one.
Who that? No. Senator Lautenberg.
Oh, Lautenberg.
He died, and he's a Democrat and a Republican governor. He's a senator.
He didn't die in the storm, Tracy.
No, I just said,
Tracy. Storm chaser died. The storm chaser died.
Listen, you chase a storm, you're liable to get killed.
Why would you do that?
I can't answer that. Jeff, you can't knock on the window like that, and we got live radio. You don't chase storms. Storms you don't chase. That's bad. 8792, how are you doing today?
Hey, good morning there, Sister Tracy. I'm blessed. How about you?
I'm doing well.
I was just listening to your conversation about you don't go into a storm like that. You have to have a high anointing before you do something like that. You know what I mean?
No, you don't. Because the Spirit of God that I know ain't going to lead you into a tornado. He's going to tell you to go
not.
Opposite. That's not wisdom.
No, it's not.
I got
no,
in there that quick.
No, it's not, woman of God. It really isn't. I don't know why they did that, and I guess because it brings in money to their families and everything.
No. Storm chasers. There's a science behind what they do. I mean, you would not be. I mean, it's really amazing. Storm chasers are they? You when I don't know the last tornado that you saw in Oklahoma, you actually saw them. Saw the storm itself. A lot of that has to do with storm chasers and
right.
And, it's a science to it, trying to study it, where man needs to understand that they really cannot control a tornado, and if it turns the wrong way, I don't care what your meteorological stuff shows you, that does not mean that you're going to be able to see, or you know, because you never know. A storm's got its own mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it does.
And and the God I know would not tell you to walk into the middle of a tornado and just, I'm sorry. I mean, I just don't see it.
I agree.
Just to hang out so you can study how a storm going to go?
Well, no. I mean, this guy was responsible.
Wisdom says to go to the basement.
This guy was responsible for doing a lot of the ways that they're able to do early warning. He's responsible for creating many of those different warning systems because of what they see in the middle of one of those things when they get there. So, I don't, you know, I hear what you're saying.
Don't get me wrong. I understand it. But, but he said, God, I'm sorry, that you go to the basement. Wisdom say go to the basement. So, did you have a good weekend?
I did.
You did?
I did. I'm finally getting my car fixed after 3 months of sitting. Praise God.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Why did you sit for 3 months?
Because nobody wanted to help this prophet get my car fixed. And I finally found a mechanic, and he's going to Youngstown Auto over there on Wilson Avenue to get my part. And it's not going to cost me $359. It's only going to cost me $80 and then $50 to give him. And then my car will finally be fixed, praise God.
And then what you going to do?
I'm going to take Gina, my wife, out to the best restaurant in Boardman, Ohio, and feed her.
Uh-huh. That's pretty good.
I'm going to take care of my queen.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
17 and a half years of being married to my wife. She deserves something after putting up with me for the last 3 months, constantly praying, seeking God's face, and waiting for God to bless me financially so I was able to get this car fixed. She deserves
Amen.
It.
So you're going to take it in. That's a good husband. That's a good thing. Hey, listen,
well,
we should do
that, us men that are married to our wives. We should take our wives out on a date when we can.
I gotta help you out right here because I appreciate what you're doing for your wife, but I gotta that'll be a good segue because I don't know if anybody saw Beyonce last night.
No, I didn't.
Beyonce had a concert on television and I didn't watch the whole concert because it was a little bit there was a lot of woman power.
Okay.
And there was more female power than I'd like to see. Now, women should be strong. I am woman, hear me roar. I believe, and women should be a virtuous woman. I believe that women, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I really understand all of that, but I do have major issue when you really almost demonize men because they're men.
Okay.
You know, you guys were talking about the feminization of America for the last few years, okay? And I've noticed in just a lot of different things where men are getting really moved out to now where the, now over 40% of the households have the major women.
That's the breadwinners.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good thing? I don't think so. Don't get me wrong. I think women can make money. But when you say breadwinner and you say partner, but every time I look in history, because of how women think, you know, you guys say that you're almost balanced out because we got three men now, so y'all are balanced. Because
okay.
We are emotional thinkers. We are great multitaskers.
Mm-hmm.
We are great at what we do. But there is a limit on the emotional decision-making that we have. And a lot of times we make decisions based out of emotion.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. And we will usurp authority over a man every opportunity we get if we don't respect you. We will take you and put you up against the wall and say you're not worth anything except for good sex and moving furniture.
I don't agree with that. Where do you get that at? I mean, you know,
you
might be that way. I mean,
you see it in society.
I don't.
I know you don't, but that's why you don't have men inside the house. Cause we have
No, that's not true.
That is true. Jeff, I don't need you because I don't respect you. And if a man is not respected, hold on. If you're not respected in your own home, men have a problem.
Well, the thing
and
is,
we don't respect you.
The thing is, being in their home.
Don't get me wrong.
Okay, then being in somebody else's home, that's
even
something
he's
different.
He's a head of the house. He's a man.
Mm-hmm.
He lives there. I married him. But guess what?
Yeah,
I don't respect you. I talk to you any kind of way. I don't need you because you are minimum in my life.
Well,
and when a man feels that way, if I'm not mistaken, y'all have issues.
Oh, men always do. Men have to believe. Men are just like God. They have to be believed in to do any mighty work.
And guess what?
We don't
believe in you no more.
Well, that goes without saying in a lot of situations. But I think you're describing maybe yourself because you feel that way. No, I'm saying I'm not trying to be any kind of way.
You can't tell me that I'm describing myself.
I'm not telling you you are. I'm saying I think maybe.
But don't say think maybe and say myself. What I'm
saying, I have to because I don't know where you're getting.
But what I'm saying is where I'm getting it from is I'm getting it that society, because I hear men talk about how they're not respected in their own home.
Okay.
And the reason why they're not respected.
That's true.
And I don't know how to respect you, and because I don't know how to respect you, you have a problem. So since I don't know how to put you into where your home is your castle, and I make as much money as you, you can't tell me nothing. I don't need you but to move furniture and for a good piece of sex. And guess what? The sex ain't great, and you just like your no good daddy, and you can take you and your kids and move out, and don't get
like
me wrong. Hold on. And this is American women today.
If I got it like that, I would not have been married 28 years.
We ain't talking about your life.
But what I'm saying.
Because if 50% of Americans are getting divorced and most men feel emasculated by women, what am I saying? Are we the minority or are we the majority?
Primarily it's black women.
We're not talking about black women, we're talking about black and white.
But that's what you're dealing with.
Except, no, 50% is across the board.
I hear you.
50% divorce rate is across the board in the church and out of the church.
You're right.
The church is feminized.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I agree.
Hey, Soph, your mic's up. Hey, Bob, what do you think?
I agree with you in some things that you're saying. Now, women always want to have the upper hand over a man.
Are we supposed to?
Not supposed to, no. I mean, where is the 50-50, the 50-50 here? Also, in a marriage, can two walk together, at least they be agreed? I mean, if one is agreeing to everything and another one isn't, you're going to have fighting and everything. I was just talking to my wife about this the other day, about we got to be in agreement here. It can't be one way you and no way me, you know what I mean? You were talking about this thing last night that you were watching about the woman's thing and everything, and that's not for all women. Not all women are like that, Tracy.
No, hold on. You don't give me your personal opinion from your own illustration, because What I'm saying is, in today's women, I'm not talking about the ones who are married from a different generation. We're talking about, because look at what we're raising. How many people can actually stay married?
That's true. Where was it like it was years ago when people were married for 60, 70 years? Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to find a woman and a husband and a wife being married to the same person with no outside children?
Yeah. Yeah. I have another call. I'll be right back, okay?
All right. I mean, seriously. I mean, do you guys really understand that?
They put you on hold.
That's a morality issue.
It's a morality issue, but where does it come from? Because if a man is not the worst in his home, he has issues.
Well, I said it, and I've been saying it for years now. They want to be a man.
I'm back.
And we've been formed into husbands.
Well,
we've been formed into men.
All I know is a household.
Well, you've taken
on
the role of
the
where you got a household where the woman is in charge, and everybody knows she's in charge. It's a pretty chaotic household.
Well, the media has been tearing down men in this country for 30 years.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
The last strong husband and father type was probably John Walton.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby.
Yeah, that would have been the 80s.
Cosby.
Even they played him as being kind of goofy.
That's true, too.
You know, and then we went from there to Tim Taylor, and it's just gone downhill ever since.
So, but like I said, we don't respect men. What is a man's worth?
But if you're parked in front of a television set from the time you're 2 years old until you get ready to marry, and all you see is men that are buffoons, and you don't have a father in the house, so you're getting your opinion of men from the buffoons you're seeing on the television. What are you gonna look as men like when it comes time to marry? You're gonna look at all men as buffoons.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've got a daughter that's getting ready to get married, and she doesn't look at her future husband the way the majority of her peer group does, because she was raised in a home with a strong father. And to have a good relationship with your husband, you have to have a good relationship with your dad.
And you got to have a good relationship with your wife. And the question is, if you don't see a family set in order, how do you know what order is?
Right.
And women today are very, very, very strong. We're independent. We don't. I mean, we are independent completely.
I don't think that Ma Ingalls was portrayed as a weak woman.
We're talking about
is it strong or rebellious? Are they strong or are they just being rebellious?
We're domineering.
Here's the thing about it, though. I mean, you know, I've asked folks over the years to define to me, because this is what I hear in my community is, I'm a strong black woman. What does that mean? Every time I've seen someone acting like a strong black woman, it's always been in the sense that they've been out there showing their butts.
But I'm talking about in the sense of not self-respect, but I'm talking about hierarchy in a home when you have a partnership, but after a while you can make a final decision and you respect each other for who you are. You got to realize we don't have the same revere for men as we should and or could or did in the past.
That's right.
Well, if you tell somebody you respect your husband and you want to be the wife that you should be and so on and so forth, the media looks like you're weak.
Obey is even out of the vows now. They don't love, honor, and obey nothing.
I think my daughter's going to use obey.
That's not normal.
Well, I know we're not normal. We've been abnormal for years.
But that's not normal. And we're talking about mainstream media, talking about people in today's society, and looking at what I saw last night and the demonization of men. Because she was in this S&M gear, and when she was in and she was singing these songs and who's in control of whatever thing and heck no and who's this and heck no, and it was a major chant, you know, call and response. And when he said that he was married, he wanted women. Men don't put women on pedestals.
What men don't put women on pedestals?
The majority of society at large. We're not talking about you old people who've been married 30, 40 years. We ain't talking about y'all. We're talking about the average, everyday people who's been married, you know, less than 10.
She's got to go.
Most people in society today, if you go and ask them how long they've been, heck up, they're most of them shacking. They ain't even married yet. They ain't buying no cows.
But
they got free milk.
They're fiancés.
Long-term fiancés.
They've been living together 15 years.
I'm a fiancé. What is that?
Craziness.
It's the truth. So the kids get raised with eternal fiancés. They get married, they graduate from high school and go to a wedding next month. Same month, same party. And you say it's not me. I'm just saying overall.
No,
I don't
saying,
like that, man.
I'm saying overall, the United States government, as they've gotten away from biblical principle, yes, they are disrespecting men left and right, and there's no doubt about it. But here's the thing. The way that you're putting it is endemic to black society.
I'm not talking about society.
The way that you're putting it. I'm not saying there's not a disrespect. There is a disrespect. But I'm saying, but as harsh the disrespect as you were saying, it is endemic to black society, not the majority society.
Not any longer. That's what I'm saying.
Well, see, because, see, how you're disrespected as a white male in America is different than how you're disrespected as a black male.
That's correct.
See, because a white male would have been gone and got something else and done something else. It takes a black man a long time before he lets go of his wife if they've been married longer than 10 years before he lets it go.
Now, Jeff, that is in your generation.
Like I said, no, that's starting now. I mean, it's starting now.
No.
If they've been married 10 years, I've been married way longer than 10 years. If they've been married 10 years, then they deal with things differently than somebody that's been married 20 and up. Okay, in other words, it gets progressively worse as the time went on.
I'm watching men today get divorced. Oh, should I say couples today get divorced after 30 years?
Yeah, no doubt. Because they're not going to put up with certain things anymore.
Well,
do you realize 30?
You got to remember too that some women go insane when they get like 50-ish. I worked with a guy. This is no kidding. I worked with a guy. He was married for 25 years or something like that. And his wife hit 50, and it was like she took a stupid pill. She started running around with 17-year-old boys and smoking dope, and she went nuts.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, she got her kids raised, and she went off the deep end somewhere.
Couple that with easier economic access, and you have the situation.
We're not raised to respect men. So how does a man come into a house where he's not respected and be a man? And you are actually indoctrinating them through a concert that was on for 2 hours last night.
Oh yeah,
tell women you don't need a man.
And Tracy, on top of that, women are made the perpetual victim. So if a man even lifts his voice to say anything to him, all she got to do is call the popo. And he's going to the
pokey. I don't know. We had a woman over the weekend. I guess he raised his voice, and she pulled out a gun and shot at him. They took her to jail on yesterday.
Here?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Miami.
I missed that. Oh, well.
Over on Miami. On Miami Avenue off of... Wait a minute. This is how the report went. On Miami Avenue off of McGuffey Road.
Yeah. Yeah. I seen that last night.
I missed it.
Yeah, that was. I'm just saying. I watched Beyonce last night, and instead of teaching women how to be ladies, she was gyrating all over the floor, dissing men, go to the left, and you don't. I mean, I got to understand what that does to the psyche of a young female.
No, I didn't watch this.
They have got to do that. They have got to do that in order to advance the homosexual agenda. Think about it. They got to do it.
That's just about what I was going to ask. If she's dissing men and doing very sexually explicit things, who's she doing the sexually explicit things for if it ain't for the men that she's dissing?
I can't answer that. Hey, Matt, how you doing, sweetie?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
I'm good.
That's good. You know, it's funny you bring this up now. I'm going on 14 years this month, And it's a ride that I enjoyed the whole time. I love being married. I love my wife. We have you were talking earlier, Tracy, about you know, it's not so much your personal experiences with how you deal with your marriage, but my personal experiences. I have a very strong wife, and that's been a key to our survival for this long. And it's a blast. But the one thing that kills me is what you guys are talking about right now. It's the fact that you have a feminist movement about strength in women, and that's what's driving a lot of this, is this feminist movement. And I just came across this thing not too long ago. You guys have heard of a bromance, right?
I've heard of that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah.
All right, you know what that is.
Favor,
it's not
Matt, do me a favor. Expand on the bromance for those people who are out there that may have not heard of a bromance.
Okay, a bromance is not a homosexual thing between guys. A bromance is where you know, you admire another guy and you not exactly emulate, but you're best friends, and you just do a lot together. It's a bromance. A lot of people look at it, it's kind of a joke, but you know, it's not a homosexual thing. It's more friendship than anything. Well, I just saw a post on Facebook where they came up with a new term for women that have this supposedly the same type of relationship, and it's not, you know, homosexual geared, but they're calling it a homance. And I'm sure that's what it's called. It's a homance. And I go, wait a second, you're trying to have a strong woman's movement and a feminist movement, but yet you keep on calling each other hoes and the B word and the whole deal. How do you spin 300 or 180 degrees on what you're trying to fight for if you're a feminist and calling each other hoes or coming up with a term like homance? Can anybody answer that for me?
The world has just taken a new low, man. I never heard that one.
So let's really understand. I got to take a break. Let me be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600.
The Valley's Medical Guide is now available at a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Mercer, Lawrence, and Columbiana counties. This medical guide is packed with useful health tips and a local physician's listing. Enter to win a $500 American Express card. Pick up your free copy at a local participating Walgreens pharmacy. Stop by a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Lawrence, Mercer, and Columbiana counties. Plus, a chance to win a $500 American Express card. Now at Walgreens, accepting most Express Scripts plans.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. A woman's condition has been stabilized after she was attacked by a dog Saturday in Wellsville. 18-year-old Tina Springer of Hammondsville was bitten on the throat. The dog belongs to a next-door neighbor. Springer was flown to a hospital in Pittsburgh for treatment. A 42-year-old woman was arrested yesterday afternoon for firing shots in the 1300 block of Miami Avenue in Youngstown. Allison Whitaker did not injure anyone, but she was taken to Northside Medical Center. Kids were playing in the area at the time the shots were fired. Police recovered a handgun at the scene. The Ohio Department of Transportation is awarding $7.2 million for projects to help children safely walk or bicycle to school. The grants go to 58 projects. The money will help with constructing or improving crosswalks and sidewalks and will support efforts to educate children about being safe on their way to school. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming. But Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Why should you pay more when your air conditioner breaks after 5 p.m.? Ainsley Heating and Cooling won't penalize you for broken equipment no matter what time of the day or night it happens. By doing what it takes to ensure your complete satisfaction, the Ainsley Group is welcome in more homes in northeastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania than any other contractor. Call Ainsley Heating and Cooling at 330-637-1911 or ainsleyhtg.com.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Here are two simple words that should make you reconsider waiting to buy a home. Buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,350. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 3.5%, APR 3.65%, that payment could support a $300,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6%, that same $1,350 mortgage payment, including principal and interest, may only be able to support a $225,000 mortgage. That's $75,000 worth of home that you're missing out on by waiting. That's buying power. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Give Quicken Loans a call today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com and maximize your buying power.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance costs. For cost information, equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
Your favorite station really helps you out. Thanks to iHeartRadio, you can take your favorite station and your mobile device. Download the free iHeartRadio app at iHeartRadio.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Back and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hope you're having a good afternoon. It's 39 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on the 3rd of, wow, keep on saying wow, that's the 3rd of June, 2013. And in studio with Jeff and Sticks. On the phone, we have Prophet Bob in South Carolina. And Matt's out there. Glad to have you back, Matt. Missed you. I'm glad everything's working out for you. You can call in and say hi.
It's glad to be back, Tracy. I've been busy as of late, and you know how that goes. So I decided to get in while I could this week.
Yeah, man, because it's pan time, and I know they're playing that thing.
Yeah, they're going crazy, I'll tell you. We've been busy doing quite well, and you know, as much as I miss the show, I love the work, and I'm glad to have it.
Can I come out? Can I come out? Will you teach me how to play the drum?
I could teach you how to play drums. I couldn't teach you how to play steel drums. My boss, though.
Steel drums is totally different, baby.
It's totally different.
How hard could it be to touch a piece of metal with a bone? What? Well, I mean, how hard could it be? They are.
I'm not here to promote anything, but there's some lines of steel drums that are for beginners, and my company has some of those, and they're a blast. You can sound like a professional from day one using some of these drums. So, you know, and then step up into the bigger drums. I mean, it's fun. I play them when I'm there, and I have a blast, but I don't know what I'm doing with the bigger pans, that's for sure.
I have a question for you because I see. Thank you for sending the link. Go to TracyandFriends.com. Go to blogtalk.com/TracyandFriends. You can check us out. Go into the chat room right there. Love to hear from you if you're listening to us online. We're on iHeartRadio, so we want you to just chime in with us. And Matt, I got to ask you in a minute how you chime in with Skype. But the whole man's. Why would they call it a whole man's? I mean, all right. That just sounds so crass.
I mean, everybody knows. I don't know what I can see on terrestrial radio, but I assume everybody knows what the beginning of that "ho" means.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I've heard, you know, especially within the feminist movements, a lot of the people that you hear talking back and forth within there use very derogatory comments towards each other, and I'm like, you're fighting your own cause just by the way you're speaking. And when you start coming up with "ho man," okay. What? I don't get it myself.
I don't think that's appropriate to have a woman or two ladies. You're saying H-O-M-A-N?
That's what we're saying, H-O-M-A-N-C-E, oh man.
Little bit like...
I'm glad they didn't put a W on there.
Yeah.
Difference.
Well, they should have named it something else because that makes... sound like something that's not good for a woman to have behind her name.
But you
H-O, if you put an E there, then it makes it sound like a woman is a hoe. You understand, short for a whore. I don't think they should have done that. That's my opinion.
I mean, I'm with you on that, but my question is, why would you, I mean, because I hear people calling each other B's and H's and all that kind of stuff all the time, so that's nothing, I mean, that's just not new. I have a problem with people calling me out of my name.
I think you got it all wrong. They're just in love with weed in the garden.
I was getting ready to say.
That's all it is. They're just in love with weed in the garden.
They're in the gardening real heavy.
Yeah, that's all it is. We just got our minds in the gutter around here.
Yeah, you know, when you hear guys get together and when they talk, they usually go, "Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, big man, what's up? You know, whatever." And then you'll hear some women get together and they'll say that. "What's going on, ho? What's doing this, B-word?" You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. You got to practice what you preach if you feel that you should have an equal place, a strong equal place in society.
But I've never heard the people I hang around with, and I don't have a whole lot of friends, I have never heard A, B, "Hey, ho, what's up?" You know what I mean? I don't like that kind of language anyhow, so I don't want to hang around with people like that. You know what I mean?
What are you saying, Sticks?
Yeah, I've heard men call each other a-hole and not be in an angry...
An a-hole, I mean, you got to realize the woman last night held a concert, and the woman last night, her last single, she was doing something with the bishes, B-I-S-H-E-S, and I don't know what the bishes is, but it sounded like...
Wow.
I can't understand it.
I want to know who allowed their child to watch this.
A lot of people did.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
It was on network
television. Oh, I see nothing wrong with this stuff. You got to understand.
Well,
the president of the United States, his wife, said she wanted her daughter to grow up to be like Beyonce. My goodness. Not Condoleezza Rice, but Beyonce. Not even Suzanne Rice.
Not even the First Lady. Isn't the First Lady a lawyer?
Valerie Jarrett.
They asked the First Lady. The First Lady said it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if I was a lawyer, if my wife was a lawyer, I wouldn't expect my wife to say she wants my daughter to grow up like an entertainer. I would expect her to say she wanted to grow up like a lawyer, a doctor, or an engineer, or something useful.
Listen, skip lawyer, doctor, engineer, just somebody that don't slide all over the Super Bowl floor in an S&M suit, gyrating all over the floor, slapping men upside the head.
And what's wrong with that?
You told me because that's how I am. Skip that. I'm looking just for a man. And there are very few men out there because they've been raised by women.
Well,
and we have feminized society to the point that men don't even know what to look like in the mirror.
Well, the ones that you've been looking for were still raised by men, but
yeah, but they all married a gay. That's a problem. Or dead.
You're in a limited market.
Or on their way to dead.
You're in a limited market.
Yeah, you hang around a few more years, Tracy. They'll be the secondary market, the widowers. There's always a secondary market.
Jeez, oh man.
I might as well switch gears while I'm at it. The man died.
Who? Senator from New Jersey.
Frank Lautenberg. 89 years old.
Yeah, no, that's not the point. Sorry for the family. But we got a Republican governor.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again.
He's a Democrat.
Yeah.
Republican governor.
What do you mean? They got a Republican
governor. Christie's a Republican governor, so he gets to appoint
the
replacement.
Well, let's see what he does.
So the question is... No, Jeff, don't go.
He's been having a bromance with the president.
We're going to see who he replaces him with.
Now listen, he already had a lap band surgery because he's going to run for president.
Uh-huh.
So what does that mean when it comes to who is he going to pick? And how will the balance of the Senate shift? Because I don't know
what's going on. Well, I can just about guarantee you it's not going to be anybody that thinks like Rand Paul.
No, but the thing is if we get a mildly conservative senator, that would be the thing to have happen.
Where are you going to find one in New Jersey?
They're there.
They may not be in politics.
Yeah, they may not. They're probably running a corporation somewhere or doing something else.
I used to think Chris Christie was conservative, but he's walked away from us.
Let me ask this: why do you think he's not a conservative?
I
want to know the stick, because you said I used to think he was a conservative. Why do you think he's not a conservative any longer?
Because of some of the statements he's made about global warming and some other things.
Okay.
Really, really stupid.
He's not
stupid. I take that back. Because for him, it could be very well his ticket to
the White House.
Staying governor or being able to get into the White House, because you know that we're going to pick another mealy-mouthed, spiny back person to run.
No, we might not. We may not.
But I'm saying.
I don't think so.
But you hear what I'm saying. He's looking at what they've been looking for. There's nobody. He's not conservative. We haven't had a conservative for the last two times around.
I don't mean that. I'm not talking about, you know, because remember, they pick, we choose, so we say. My question is, what makes you think that Christie is too liberal for the conservative Republicans?
How he kissed Barack Obama's behind and lied while he was doing it.
What do you mean? I need for you to give me in detail.
I can give you specific. Let me say it then. Okay, all the time he's saying, the president, this last time especially, the president did everything he said he was going to do. Instead of those people still living in freaking hotels because they can't live in any.
Yeah, there's still people around New York City that don't have, in New Jersey, don't have electricity.
Don't have no electricity. They don't have any place to stay because they want to stay by the house. They won't put the trailers down there talking about it's in a floodplain. What kind of idiot stuff is that? You put them in there, let them rebuild their houses so they don't have to travel 1,000 miles to get to their place.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Slow down. We got a little time. We only in the first hour.
Go ahead.
If we know, it's like where the Covelli Center is downtown Youngstown.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that it could be a hazard for another hurricane and or flood again.
At what time?
Can't answer that. I mean,
I can.
Hold on, Jeff, because I would not have thought that a tornado would have struck again in Oklahoma.
I don't know why.
Why? It's Tornado Alley.
I know it's Tornado Alley, but not in the same place in the
yes,
around the
absolutely.
Corner.
Absolutely, the same place, same corner. When it hits Alabama, it hits the same place most of the time because that's where the weather patterns and everything meet. When I lived in Texas,
why do we keep on building the neighborhood there?
Well, because it's not every year it happens, but it happens often enough.
So my question is, why do we keep on buying? Right. So my question is, and don't get me wrong, I'm just playing devil's advocate here,
mm-hmm.
because I mean he whatever with the president, and I didn't see him. If he did the right thing, if he helped the people out, and FEMA did their job, I have no problem calling a clock right twice, a broke clock right.
FEMA did not do the job any better than what they did down in freaking New Orleans.
No, that's not true.
That's absolutely true. Tracy, see, this is what I'm trying to tell you. When those levees broke and Bush told them, it's going to be very dangerous for us to come in there when if the levees break, get out now. And those and the stupid Kathleen Blanco resisting him and telling him, I'll make that call. And then they didn't make the call for two more days. And then they turned down people getting out. The infrastructure of that entire city was washed away. Well, the infrastructure here was partially washed away, and you also had houses just got washed away. So they can build those things back, but the people wanted to be near their half-washed-out houses so they could oversee the rebuilding of them. They would not put those trailers there talking about, FEMA talking about, we're in a floodplain, we can't put them here. And they're sitting stacked up in New Jersey somewhere. This is
okay,
stupid.
Hold on. We've got a situation that whether you agree or disagree, we don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, I don't compare that to Katrina.
I don't know why it's the same thing.
Well, because it was not the same thing.
What we got going on in Jersey right now is big part of the problem is you have the federal government, federal flood insurance, fighting with the private insurers over what's wind damage and what's flood damage.
Right.
Because the private insurers aren't responsible for flood damage.
I understand that.
So instead of just sitting down and doing what's best for the people. You've got lawyered up insurance companies and lawyered up federal government. Nobody wants to pay anything.
And guess what?
But that does not go to Christie and or.
Yeah, it does because the president promised no red tape.
Yep.
No red tape, and there's red tape all over the place. And Christie kept, thank you, Mr. Obama. You did just what he said we were going to do.
I'm not going to be that petty.
That's not petty. That's serious. People are dying. People are sick because of this. So you have to understand. You have to understand how serious that situation is.
Right.
You went up there. You saw it.
Right. I did. That's what I'm saying. What I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw for the people that were coming around, the assistance that was coming around, and being that I've been a part of a situation where FEMA had to be come into play.
Yeah.
I understand a lot of it, and I understand that there's a lot of red tape, and when you're dealing with that many people with that much devastation, you're going to deal with some bureaucracy. It is, and the insurance companies are going to push back because that's what they do, and we won't touch them. And that's not Republican, that's not Democrat, that's just American government.
We agree.
My question is, Christie as a governor, what makes him so liberal? Because he likes President Obama, and he said he did a good job.
No, not just because of that. He has all these other views of the his health care view.
Yeah, his global warming view.
Global warming view. You know, I haven't heard him say much on the homosexual view.
Who's he going to replace Lautenberg with?
That's what I'm saying.
So we're hoping.
So the question is he going to replace him with a Republican or a Democrat, and how's that going to shift the balance of the Senate?
If he replaces him with a Democrat, I will personally stand on the street corner with a "Do not vote this rhino in the nothing" sign with a picture of him now pre lap band.
Hold on. Does anybody know how? I'll find it at the top of the brow, top of the hour. I'll find it at the break. I don't know what the balance of the Senate is.
Well, look on Reuters, Tracy. I was just trying to research who he was looking at, and Reuters has a write up, and they say a temporary replacement is likely to be a Republican, but I was listening to one of the other shows on your station, as a matter of fact, earlier in the day, and they were talking about Christie possibly picking a Democrat, and I forgot the guy's name. I'm trying to research what it was, but if I find that name, I'll let you know.
I mean, that's my question. Who's he going to replace him with? Because my question is not who does he replace him with their philosophy and their ideals, but the question is, will it shift will it balance the power of the Senate?
No, I'm not going to balance it. We got to pick up.
How many seats do we have to pick up?
I think we're six to ten seats down, so I don't know.
781, your mic is on.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing? Long time no talk to.
I know. Where you been?
I've been around listening to people you know who don't know definitions. Is this open mic today?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well,
I got about 5 minutes
say,
before my breakdown.
When you say open mic, I think that people can have an open-minded conversation. I just want to explain to some people what the definition of larceny means. The definition, one definition in larceny means to give someone something of yours that you entrust them with and in return for that, they take it and use it for their own purpose to make money. That's larceny. You know, that's the definition of larceny. And the other definition of larceny means to take something of value, you know, and to make money with it. Now, you recognize my voice. I ain't got to get off into no explanations and whatnot. But that's all that is just larceny. And I'm still trying to get this issue in the court. But for some reason,
I didn't commit larceny against the Jedi.
If it's open mic, just have an open mind. Just listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
All I'm saying is I've been trying for the longest to get an issue in the court, and I believe that I'm intentionally being blocked out so people can just commit the act of larceny. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
All right, okay, man.
So
Congress. So by his definition, Congress is committing larceny against the American people.
I would agree. It works. It works. Congress is committing larceny against the people. Jeff's sitting up here and he ain't paying no attention. Hey, South Carolina, how was your weekend, darling?
Quiet. Very quiet.
Quiet.
That's a good thing. Yep, that's a good thing.
Did you watch that race yesterday?
No, I didn't get a chance to watch the race. I was too busy doing homework.
How did what's his name lose the race on? What penalty did they hit him with? And when he lost race and the guy that they ain't won nothing in 2-3 years.
No, Tony Stewart won the championship 2 years ago. But anyways, he jumped a restart. He was in second place, and he got to the line before the guy was in first place.
Yep, that'll put you to the back of the field, baby.
Yep.
Okay.
So they gave him a pass-through penalty, which cost him about a lap and a half.
Wow.
But Tony Stewart was pretty amazing yesterday. Tony's one of my guys.
I hear you. I'm just saying he came through.
You know he's got a connection to the Valley.
No,
Gene Haas. Haas Engineering is from Canfield.
Okay, yeah, I know what that's.
And he's the co-owner.
And you watched NASCAR yesterday?
Of course, I watched NASCAR yesterday.
I heard NASCAR will I hear NASCAR will cause ear damage.
That's why we wear hearing protection when we go watch it.
Are you wearing protection when you go watch it?
Not on television, but when we're there personally, yeah, we've got headphones with radios in them so we can hear what's going on the track.
That's serious.
Well, it's not. You buy them at Lowe's. Because they broadcast the play-by-play. They broadcast the play-by-play over an FM signal at the track. We don't buy the ones where
you... So it's like going to the drive-in?
Yeah, kind of.
Because, you know, when you go to the drive-in now, they broadcast through your radio signal.
Oh, I didn't know that. I haven't been to the drive-in probably 15 years.
Yeah, we have a drive-in here, guys, and they just upgraded it to a digital transfer, big deal, whoopee ding-dong and Warren.
Can we get them to advertise on it with us?
I hope so. I didn't give a name out, but there's only one drive-in in the whole area, so you'll figure it out. Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. Hey, Matt, I got to come back and pick with you for a minute when I come back from the top of my break. South Carolina, I hope to talk to you, too. Bob, thanks for calling in. I appreciate you. A lot of stick on and stay on, and I'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
say of children entering public school or people getting on airplanes, that there is no particular suspicion of crime beyond what the person has been arrested for. It's Scalia dissenting on a libertarian basis, saying this is Big Brother taking your DNA even when he doesn't need to.
The president, hosting mental health professionals at the White House today, said most people with mental disorders are not violent, but he said untreated mental illness can lead to larger tragedies like the school shootings in Connecticut.
Even though three-quarters of mental illnesses emerge by the end of by the age of 24, only about half of children with mental health problems receive treatment.
The next time you see a teenager getting carded at a liquor store, think of Frank Lautenberg, who died today at 89. A Democratic senator from New Jersey left his mark on the everyday lives of millions of Americans. He was a driving force behind laws that made 21 the drinking age in all 50 states and banned smoking on most U.S. flights.
The American people are overwhelmingly in support of this suspension of smoking, this prohibition in airplanes.
New Jersey's Republican Governor Chris Christie will appoint a successor. Dramatic delivery in Utah. Twin boys were born on the side of I-80. Mom Lynette Hales gave birth with the help of a friend and a 911 operator 25 miles from the nearest hospital. This is ABC News.
Futures and options trading involves substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Fire the stockbroker and hire yourself. I'm Larry Levin, and I've been on the trading floor for 23 years. I was one of the biggest traders in the S&P pit. I'm also the president of Trading Advantage, the leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional day traders. Now, for a limited time, I'm offering one of the trading techniques I use to make $1.9 million for free. Get started right now by calling 800-288-0092. Leave your email address on my voicemail, and I'll email you my free trading technique and daily insider's market report at no cost to you. This is the very information I use to build my fortune.
I was getting ready to retire. I still needed to make extra income, but I didn't want to work for anyone else. Because of Larry and his excellent instructors, I could trade successfully for myself, and I'll never have to work for someone else again.
Fire the stockbroker and hire the most dependable person you know, you. Again, call in the next 90 minutes, leave your email address on my voicemail, 800-288-0092.
Futures and options trading involves substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
The long-awaited trial of one of the nation's most wanted fugitives begins today in Boston. ABC's Deirdre Bryant.
James Whitey Bulger was one of the most feared men in America. He's accused of running Boston's violent Winter Hill Gang, and according to prosecutors, he played a role in 19 murders over two decades. Bulger was the inspiration for Jack Nicholson's character in The Departed.
Are you still a cop?
No! No!
Swear on your mother's grave.
Bulger fled 18 years ago after being tipped off by a former FBI agent that he was about to be indicted. He's now 83, and a number of infamous gangsters are set to testify against him. Jury selection begins Tuesday. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
Olympic runner Oscar Pistorius appeared in court for a hearing today ahead of the start of his murder trial tomorrow in Johannesburg. The double amputee is charged with the Valentine's Day shooting death of his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp. Pistorius has been rarely seen in public since he was granted bail back in February. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
I need to control internet usage in my office.
Do you want to pay a fee for every user?
No.
Do you want to pay extra to protect remote users?
No.
How about a product that's difficult to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
The Barracuda Web Filter. Content filtering, application control, and malware protection with no per-user fees. Available as a hardware appliance, virtual appliance, or as a cloud service. And live humans to answer your calls. Try Barracuda Web Filter free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
Is your car's air conditioning not blowing cold enough air? Bring back the cold in under 10 minutes with Do-It-Yourself AC Pro. It's fast, easy, and you don't need any special tools or skills. Go to acprocold.com for the store nearest you.
This is Sean Hannity, and you're listening to News Talk 600 WSOM.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number. 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
330-781-9600, 1-800-530-WSOM, or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on the 3rd of June. And it's 7 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, and I hope you're having a good day today. It's open mic. The number is 347-945-5229. Talked about women because I just had problems. I just did. Had problems with Beyonce last night, and I guess I'm problems. And South Carolina and Matt and Bob, they're inside the chat room. Sticks, you still looking at guns, huh? Can't get away, can you?
Looking at guns, looking about guns, looking at stories about guns.
And Matt, I don't know why you're here in cooling the gang in the queue. That we're not playing cooling the gang today.
Huh? I'm looking at all my stuff, and I don't see. I'm hearing Celebration in the background every once in a while. Played through the last two commercials. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It plays. You can hear it too, Bob?
Yes, ma'am. Sure can. I mean, I can celebrate. I celebrate over here all the time. But that's a good song, Celebration.
I don't know what that is, because that wouldn't be coming through the board, through there, where they could hear it, or we'd hear it now. We're not that sophisticated over here. Hey, listen, go out and see Barbie Doll over at Doll's Antiques and All. It's located at 9026 South Avenue on the corner of Western Reserve and South Avenue, right across from Dunkin' Donuts. So go out there and say hi to her. And then this upcoming week, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, back in one, in tune over at Calvary Ministries, go out and see Elder Tyson and deal with the young people over there. And I'm quite sure they'd love to have you. Matt, what's up with the steel drums? I got to go back to that because I want to learn. If I hit the steel drum, will it make a noise?
Yeah, it'll make a noise. Absolutely, it'll make a noise. It makes a cool noise.
It'll make a noise. So
it's you know, I fell into what I do almost by accident. A friend of mine got me in, and you know, I've been doing it for a couple of years. It's a cool thing. Steel drums are it's something that everybody can play and kind of sound good at. It's, you know, you hit a note. And you're talking about something that sounds nothing like any other instrument on the planet. And, you know, the company I work for, which is strangely local, Even for Youngstown and where I live, it's a local area. It's one of the biggest and best steel drum companies on the planet here in Northeast Ohio.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
It's weird, isn't it? You would never think that Ohio would be the thing, but the owner of my company went to school here. He traveled abroad quite a bit, brought a lot of science and technology into building these. Steel drums originate in Trinidad. That's where they were created and came from. And a lot of people in Trinidad are not very happy with my boss because of the perfection he put into it, and the fact that he's not from Trinidad, he's American, so they, he has a lot of people that don't like him for that. But it's a really cool thing to research and possibly give it a shot in one's life.
Tell them just don't open up no boxes with chicken feathers in it or nothing.
Yeah, don't do that. Well, I don't know.
If you see a little blood dripping from the package, don't open it. Don't open it.
Yeah. That's it.
Did you guys see today where the Supreme Court is going to allow police to take DNA samples after arrest?
Yeah, they should.
No,
not until you've been convicted.
Not until you've been convicted.
You're caught in the act
of what?
Of raping somebody. Okay.
No, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what it says.
Okay, hold a minute.
If you get arrested driving down the street, open up your mouth and swab it.
Mm-mm.
No what?
No can do. I can't go for that. No can do.
No, Jeff. We're talking about the arrest. Justice will allow police to take DNA samples after arrest. Police may take DNA samples from people arrested for serious crimes, whatever that means.
Oh, boy.
When officers make an arrest supported by probable cause to hold for a serious offense, and they are being the suspect, they bring the suspect to the station to be detained in custody, Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote for the majority, taking and analyzing a check swab for the arrestee, DNA is like fingerprinting and photographing, legitimate police booking procedure that is reasonable under the Fourth Amendment.
Wow.
I don't think I like that.
They're coming
Roberts,
up with much. They're
Clarence
coming
Thomas
up with,
brought up, huh? What did you say?
They're coming up with so much. I mean, so many things. You're not allowed to do this. Cameras everywhere. My Lord.
Well, I have to say that it seems suspicious to me because we've been fingerprinting forever now, and it seems to be an extremely successful way of identifying people. Now, why are we taking something that's been proven to work, and now we're switching to DNA? It seems very suspicious to me.
Ah, what about the children getting iris scans?
What children getting
iris scans? Yeah, I heard that one.
There was a school, Matt, I can't remember where it was at. They were giving children iris scans.
Why are they scanning their iris?
For identification on the school bus. So when you go on the school bus, they can check your iris scan to make sure you're supposed to be getting on that school bus.
The kicker for that, though, was they didn't notify the parents that they were going to do it.
Right. Well, I think they're doing a whole lot of things to our kids that they're not telling us they're doing.
Well, the kids don't belong to you anyhow. They belong to the people. They're their own agent. What are you talking about?
I don't own my real estate either.
PBS?
That's true.
Wow.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. That's true.
So pretty soon the only place you're going to have private and the only thing you're going to own is what's between your own 2 ears.
In a minute. They got everybody's DNA that they said that they have already said that they can do. They can take, because of the healthcare law,
mm-hmm.
They can have everybody's DNA.
I heard that they can remotely, if you've got a smartphone, they can remotely turn the camera on.
Oh, they can.
I mean, see exactly what you're doing.
I mean, you have to realize, if you have your phone on and or off, because even when it's off, it's still not off.
Yeah, unless you got a phone like mine that can have the battery removed. Then it's off.
Well, all of them can have the battery removed.
You can't take them out of an iPhone.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. You have to take it back to the ice store to get it done.
You can't physically take off?
No Apple products. Apple products are all hermetically sealed.
Hermetically sealed for who?
Apple's the only one can open without breaking.
Oh, but all they need is a camera. They can access your camera from anywhere, any place, anytime.
Even when your phone is off.
Mm-hmm. But not if the battery is removed.
Not true. I don't
think. Oh, if the battery is removed, no, they can't.
If I take my little phone right here.
I don't know. I don't know. So I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a battery still running in there.
That's true.
It's just not enough. It's not. It just won't run the phone. But
yeah,
the battery.
Yeah,
still
I don't.
There.
I don't know whether the GPS is as a result of the other or not.
Don't try to put that thing. That little snapshot phone of yours. That little Tinker toy.
Hey, This is a mil spec phone.
I can drop this in
30 feet of water and it'll still work. I can drop it on concrete from 20 feet. It'll still work.
You can slam it up against the wall and it'll still work.
That's right.
And all it does is talk.
No, it's got a camera in it.
You're right.
It's even got internet.
That ain't got no internet.
Yeah, it does.
Internet or what? That ain't no internet. You can't even see the internet. Look, Jeff. That ain't internet.
Not for me. I'd be.
Hey, 207, your mic is on. It's
yes,
open
indeed.
Mic.
How you doing, Trey?
Good. How you doing, Reg?
All right. Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. Hey, listen. I had a question in general. I don't want, you know, anyone to take it in the wrong fashion, but it, you know, been kind of catching my goat a little bit, you know, for the last few days or so after watching some programs on TV. And basically, I'm directing this more or less towards Sticks right there in general. What I wanted to know in general. Trace, you and Jeff, you know, can maybe give opinion on it in general, but I think this revolves around himself and his people, is why are there so, you know, when there's so many different crimes and stuff that are being done, like, you know, mass murders and bombings and stuff, why basically is that normally, in most cases, Caucasian people?
Well, these mass murderers, the majority of them have been heavy gamers, and I don't know if African American children don't play those video games to the extent that suburban children do.
They're equal. They play games before they brush their teeth.
Probably the biggest thing I would think, just from being around Jeff and Tracy and what I can see, is it seems like young African American males are heavier on this respect thing and this disrespect thing, and they're more likely to shoot each other on an individual basis than have mass shootings. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Well,
you know,
hold on,
Reg. I think Matt's going to chime in. Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, it's not just the mass shootings. It's serial murderers tend to be white people
right,
as well.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You're right. Absolutely,
yeah, no,
right,
it,
right. That's
you know what was funny is I just had this
all
conversation.
All the major stuff is done by Caucasian people.
I just had this
and
conversation.
I can't quite understand that, you know, Tracy and Jim. Like I said, maybe yourself and Jeff maybe, you know, can maybe add some reason why. But it just seems strange, you know, that all the time, you know, and at the moment in general, Caucasian people are more or less running the country as of right now for the most part, but seem like that's going to change possibly later
on. Reg.
But
hey, Reg, I'm going to tell you what I think. Reg,
yep.
Listen to this. I'm going to tell you why that is.
Okay.
Culturally, okay. It's a different kind of anger. And from what I just, as observation, it's just in how things go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we African Americans tend to be angry at our situation and take it out on those that are around us. Even
okay,
if you know
you're
we
right.
migrate, in,
I agree with
we
that
migrate
part,
inside
yeah.
of a and we cocoon inside of our own little circumference and we don't come out. Whereas you know, and then I'm beginning to find out that we have always, as African Americans, we've always given white people a pass on their lifestyle. We've always thought their ice was colder and their water was wetter, and that they don't have the cultural problems that we have because they're different.
Well, you know, Trace, I think you got a point there, but I kind of disagree a little bit on that, because I think that, you know, we've been programmed to that in this country. Now, I can't say, Tracy,
let me finish. Because I want to say, what I'm saying is, we don't understand that their problems, though they're different than our problems, are just as magnified as our problems when you pull the covers back. And so where we go in and we shoot our neighbor over a drug bill and $20, they harbor their emotions and hide it so well that when they blow up the whole place.
That's true.
But it's nothing good about that either way, but it's more, I feel it's more worser in a point on that side of the fence than it is on ours.
Reg, it's equal.
It's my understanding 30 African Americans are killed every weekend in Chicago.
I don't know about that.
Hey, Reg.
Yeah.
One at a time, guys. Hold on. I think South Carolina, was that you?
Yeah. If you take a look at a little place called South Boston, you'll find the same thing going on in Southie, they call it. The same thing.
Well, but I mean, you know, I mean, throughout history, though, you know what I'm saying, in general, if you just look at history in general, it's always reflecting normally the things that have happened. I'm going to say more so in this country, because like I said, I haven't been to no other countries outside of Canada to really say. But I'm just saying that this happens in the Caucasian race. And then the thing that really gets me is that the majority of the people that are in our government are Caucasian, and then, you know, their people are the ones that have doing all this killing, the mass killing.
Hold on. Guys, check this out.
I don't understand.
We were having a conversation yesterday, and I was up in Pittsburgh over the weekend, and I bought some sugar cane, authentic sugar cane.
Uh-huh.
And I never
tasted good?
Fruit. No, wait a minute. Don't change the subject. Hold up, Reg. I had never tasted sugar cane.
Oh, okay.
So I went home, and let me finish the story. I went home and tried to cut it with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And I
couldn't do it.
You know what that's all about.
Okay, so those of you who know what sugar cane is, I didn't realize that it was going to be a very hard, sawing process to try
that's
to cut
right.
the sugar cane so I could get it out.
Need a machete.
Okay. So now, and I wanted to taste it because I knew that there were sugar cane plantations that African Americans and black folks worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Those, you have to look at, if you had several hundred slaves, or even if you had 50 slaves,
mm-hmm.
50 slaves on a plantation was more outweighed those persons that were around you. And the majority of the 50 slaves, you had at least 30 of them inside of the grounds cutting down sugarcane with a machete.
Okay.
Right.
And you, Reg, and you asked the question why we don't do mass killings. Now, if you've got, I'm being serious about this. You've got 30 black folk getting whipped with a whip in a plantation with machetes in their hand, and you only got 5 white folks watching after you. And 3 black folks, which makes 8, which means only 8 people going to die. And you've got, they only got 6 bullets. It's not like they had AK-47s with a 30 magazine clip. Yet they never revolted.
Yes, this is true, but I mean,
very seldom. They seldom revolted and took over the plantation in which they were the majority in. So you don't.
I understand what you're saying, honey. But it was a no-win situation.
Red.
I mean, that would be ludicrous to make a move like that. There was a few in history
ludicrous.
That I read and I seen on a couple programs that there was some uprising stuff. But the majority of them were shut down.
That's not ludicrous
because of the fact they had nowhere to go. They didn't have any type of real weaponry outside of what they just had.
Brent, yeah. I got a machete
no.
in my hand, and I only got five
hey,
people.
What is that? What
I
is
got
that
to take
to,
out.
Honey, but what is that to a six-shot rifle or something? I don't care if it wasn't.
No. They had muzzle loaders.
What do you do with a rifle against a machete?
They had muzzle loaders. At that stage of the game, the state-of-the-art weapon was a muzzle loader.
Repeating firearms
hadn't been invented yet.
Whatever it was more of you got a knife and I got a gun, even if it's a muzzle loader, it don't mean who don't want
to
be that first one to get shot. It don't make no difference.
Reg,
that doesn't make any sense.
Reg,
no, I'm not. Don't get upset. Calm down.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to the mindset. Look at the mindset of the masses.
I'm listening to you, and I don't agree.
Reg, I'm not asking to agree with me. What I'm saying
What's
is, we're not talking. Listen to the mindset of the people that were
point?
In. The mindset of the people that were in the field. They could have organized to revolt and actually threw a coup.
Oh, Tracy, now you're going too far. Now that I just got finished explaining to you that some biography I was watching on public TV and stuff was talking about at one time during the slave era before the Civil War and stuff, how they tried to do this and stuff. But Tracy, when you're in a country and stuff where you don't know where nothing is,
you don't
have
listen.
Any resources, you're in the deepest part
Fred,
areas
you
where it was slavery.
Your question was, why don't we African Americans do mass killings versus white people do mass killings, but we do our single shot? You understand, we fought against one another
in the
plantation.
Yeah.
But the mindset was never to do a mass killing inside of the house of the plantation owner. You understand?
Right.
It's conditioning.
I do. I understand that.
So if you ask me what my point was, my point is what I said. It's a mindset. Because I had enough people and I had enough slaves to throw a coup, to take over a whole lot of stuff. But I didn't have the will to do so because I was conditioned to be subservient to that which was over me.
Right.
That's how you can be inside of a penal system and the guards not have any guns and you behave like you're enslaved. And as a matter of fact, they do it today. They do it today when it comes to voting. Because they can always motivate you into doing what they choose and make you suppress when they need to suppress you and we not know it. So when you ask about mass killings, and mass murder.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, that's
it's
what I'm saying, Tracy. I agree with you. I'm not going to, stay on take anybody else's time. I just wanted to shoot that by you there. I get what you're saying and stuff. I hope you understand exactly where I'm coming from. I just found it interesting after watching some different programs that I have. And then when I look at the overall picture of this whole country in general, look at the people that basically are making the laws and stuff, but yet look at how many bombings and different things of that nature, what race of people is doing the most of it in general and groups and masses of people.
It's the same thing. It's the same conditioning. Hey, Alex, you want to chime in on this one? But it's the same condition.
Not on this particular subject. I had something else to bring up. So I can,
okay.
Let me take my break, and I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy.
Hey, Tracy, I'm
going to
get off, and I'm going to listen to Alex for a little while.
Alex got to stay on another subject because he's probably going somewhere crazy off the cliff, too. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. We do want to hear from you today. It is open mic, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming. But Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services. helping you on the road to recovery.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassetech.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening with Tracy and Friends, and it is 33 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and Jeff and Sticks are here on the phone. It's open mic, and we'll go where you want to go, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about today. We talked about larceny, and we swooped over to, the difference between, mass killings and why it seems to be more masculines in the African, in the white community than they do in the black community. But then Jeff brought up a point during the break. But when you look at what happens in people who are of African descent across the globe, the young man who was in England, I believe, last week, who shot down the officer did he kill him with a machete?
Two of them.
Cut his head off.
And then he talked about over in Africa, and he talked about Idi Amin, and that was mass killings.
You got mass killings everywhere.
Hey, go ahead, Alex.
No, he had a
point. Alex ain't there.
Alex was there. I left him there.
He put you on hold.
Alex was there. I put him. He was there. I talked to him.
How much you talking to? Man, I don't like how these callers disrespect you.
You know,
Matt's on the line. South Carolina's on the line.
What did I have up? No, I don't want to talk about him today.
What did I?
I don't know what you did.
Stop the Hating Boy Scouts face monumental loss of choice to allow openly gay member.
Hey, Southern Baptist Convention.
I talked to his office.
Whose office?
Carney. Daryl Issa.
He's the one who is he the one who dissed Carney? Is he gonna apologize?
Nope. Apologize for what?
I was reading it, want him to apologize because he hurt his feelings.
Right. He needs to go do some more, say some more to him.
That's bullying.
Yeah.
He called him a paid liar.
My grandmother would say that the truth hurts, doesn't it?
See, that's what I love about Matt. Me and Matt will laugh at the same thing.
Real quick. How do you put down the idiot? Just wondering. I mean, it's Jay Carney, for the love of God. You might as well put some sideshow act in front of the press. Jay Carney.
The former White House press secretary. What was his name?
Beaker.
No, the one that left.
That was Beaker.
No, it wasn't Beaker.
No, what was his name?
What was his name?
He went to run the campaign or something?
Yeah, he says that ISA ought to give him he ought to say he's sorry over the comments that he made.
Right.
Somebody called him a paid liar.
Right. I'm going to leave it alone what they need to do.
But isn't that kind of every press secretary's job, irregardless of what party you belong to, or at least spin doctor?
Well, yeah, you have to go out there and put
the best face forward.
Yeah. That's the best way to put it.
So there's a fine line between an out-and-out lie and putting the best face forward.
Hey, you were thinking of Robert Gibbs. That was the last one.
Yeah, Gibbs.
Yeah, Beaker.
Beaker.
Look at him. He looks just like Beaker.
On that cartoon.
Yeah. On
Sesame. He sure does.
The Muppet Show.
He sure
you know
does
what he does?
Like Beaker.
He looks like Beaker.
Beaker.
Yeah.
There goes our fan again.
My fan. And Beaker, he doesn't look like Beaker. That's
yes, he does.
Yeah, he does.
He looks exactly like Beaker.
Go to Google Images and look up Beaker.
Look up Beaker.
No, I'm not going to do it.
I'll do it
I'm
for
not
you.
Gonna do it. I'm not going to do it. That's just no. No.
Oh man.
Bill on Facebook. He said, you know what? He said we only see what we're shown. And so it looks as though Caucasians only do certain things and blacks only do certain things.
Mm-mm.
And that's what they've shown.
Mm-mm.
Inside the television.
That ain't why.
Why, Jeff?
When people go off, when the type of people that do this are self-centered people. They're very, very, very self-centered, what do you call it, greedy people.
Well, the thing that these mass shooters, the guy in Norway, this guy in Sandy Hook, the guy in Colorado, the one thing they all had in common was they checked out of reality to play violent video games for as much as 16 hours a day. In fact, the guy that did the Norway thing checked out of life for 2 years to hone his skills on these video games before he committed this. These were all planned attacks.
But the thing is what made them do that? It wasn't just the video games.
Because
I can play video games.
Because, and not only you, we got people that play video games 24/7, and they still don't go out and find their mama's gun and go to a school and shoot up the place.
Until something happens to
them. If they're narcissists, they do.
Well, if they're narcissists, or they're
they want 15 minutes of fame.
Or they're sociopaths. But that's still it's rooted in selfishness. And what happens is when you're selfish like that, you can't see good in anything else. All you see is you want your way. And see, that kid, being a sick kid anyway, he always got his way with his mother. His mother let him do whatever, and that's why you had her allowing him to get into the cabinet with the guns when this cat shouldn't have been nowhere near a butter knife, okay? Butter knife should not have had one.
I disagree.
I hear you. It's okay.
I think when people go out and do mass killings,
mm-hmm.
I think it's more of outside of being possessed. Their livelihood, things that go on in their life,
yeah,
is
as a part of a suppression.
Okay.
Without restraint.
Yeah, but why?
That's what I'm saying, suppression without restraint.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be mentally challenged and still know right from wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
And they go to a point of where they're just, you know, I want to say possessed.
Correct.
No doubt about it.
I agree.
And you say video games, but heck, we were mass killing before video games became popular.
Actually, we weren't. Do you realize there wasn't a single recorded mass shooting by a teen, by an adolescent before 1971.
Okay, because I'm just talking about Timothy McVeigh. He wasn't playing video games. He was nutty.
No, and he didn't use a gun either.
He wasn't crazy. No, he was not nutty. That man was in full control of his faculties. He felt justified in what he was doing. See, because he felt that they had done the Ruby Ridge thing.
And the Waco thing.
And Waco.
What he was doing was retribution.
Right. He was not nutty. So, you know, I understand where everybody, you know, wants to be. That's why when he got the death penalty, there's no doubt about it. You know, there wasn't any ifs, ands, and buts about that one.
But isn't it funny, Jeff? It takes 30 years to put somebody to death in this country, but we put Timothy McVeigh to death in about 6 months.
Yeah, he sure didn't last long.
But he didn't appeal the process, did he?
No.
But in a large number of these cases, the convicted person doesn't do it anyway. Some lawyer picks it up and does it for him, whether they ask him to or not.
But see, but I'm saying the appellate process is so cumbersome that what else can you do? 8692, your mic is on.
Okay, well, Timothy McVeigh was a federal execution and not a state execution, number one. Number two, Timothy McVeigh, he refused all of his appeals, okay? So that's why the quickness of the execution. And three, I mean, to me, if I'm falsely accused and I'm on death row, I want the appeal process to take as long as it can. How many people have been exonerated since the invention of DNA evidence that were on death row that if it was a speedy execution, like let's say hang them high tomorrow, they'd be gone and the DNA, and you know, do we want to execute people that are innocent? Is that what we want to do, or
no.
We just want to speed them up, you know? That's why it takes so long for appeals, is because we want to make sure we're killing the right person.
But I got a problem with 30 years in the appellate process. We might as well let them hang them high and let them live long.
Well, my problem with the entire death penalty thing is we're not using a biblical standard for putting people to death.
Right.
Which is a
right.
High witness.
Stone them.
Two
we
or
should
more
stone
people.
Them.
Two to three,
right?
You're not hearing me, caller.
Two to three witnesses.
It takes, in the biblical system, it takes two or three eyewitnesses in order to put a person to death. And we don't do that.
But in the biblical sense, aren't we supposed to stone adulterers to death, too?
No.
Come on, man. Don't even go there.
That was the law. The law has been fulfilled through Jesus
Christ. So what about the other part that's the law that has been fulfilled? So three witnesses, that's part of the law that's fulfilled. I mean, what parts can we choose from the Bible?
That's a standard. That's not a law.
Don't go there, y'all. But
see, you don't know.
Let's get back to Timothy McVeigh. Let's get back to Timothy McVeigh, who was in today's definitions, would have been a Tea Party member and was arguing for the same thing.
That's not true.
If you read his comments.
That's a lie from the pit of hell.
Okay, dude.
That's a lie.
Okay, you're
Tea
stepping
Party
over,
members
you're stepping over the line now.
You read his comments, and he was saying the same things that Tea Party loudmouths have been saying in the last 2 years. The same things. The reason he did those is because of expanded government. He didn't like how the Waco and Ruby Ridge went. Okay, and that's what the impetus was for his, you know, destruction.
Exactly.
The difference is the Tea Party and people who sympathize with the Tea Party are looking to change things with the political process. We get when we have a Tea Party rally, we go get the proper permits, we clean the place up. It's a whole different mindset. It's wanting to change things through the political process, not by force.
No, it's just different means. You're
hold
the same
on,
edge.
Hold
you
on,
want
hold
the
on,
same
on.
Edge, just different
hold
means.
Wait a minute,
to
hold
it.
Sweetie, you and came up here lit a fire, and everybody wants to jump on you. I got to do it one at a time. So Jeff, go ahead.
Once again, you have to understand the biblical things before you talk about them. You don't understand them, so don't talk about them. That's number one. Number two, in Timothy McVeigh's case and all of that stuff has nothing to do with the Tea Party. Tea Party people are peaceful people. If they were not, you would have hell to pay at this particular time because they would have went on a rampage with all the foolishness that this government is throwing at it right now. So you know that they're peaceful people because they have never had one incident of violence on at one of their rallies.
Right.
And all of these people that are protesting and occupying, there's always violence. You have everything from rape, not murder, but everything short of murder going on at these things. So don't start that.
Have you ever been to a Tea Party rally, Paula?
Me?
You just watch. Yes, you. Have you ever been?
I'm too afraid to go. I'm too afraid to go to a Tea Party rally. There's too many tricolored hat, tri-pointed hat. There's too much violence. There's too much animosity.
Too much
I shouldn't say violence.
Hold on. Let me say it this
violence
way.
Violence has been at a Tea Party rally.
There's never been any violence at a Tea Party rally. Go
not
ahead,
one. Animosity. Well, you don't know these people. That as soon as someone commits violence, you say, oh, they're not a Tea Party member. But they espouse to the same beliefs and ideals of the Tea Party until they take it to the violent side, and then it's all they're not a Tea Party. Okay.
Let me answer something
here really quick. When we're talking about violence between the Tea Party and, say, other...
Hello?
Go ahead, Matt. Say it again.
When you're talking about violence within organizations like the Tea Party or organizations like, let's just say, Occupy Wall Street, I live by a city called Brecksville. Brecksville has a big bridge. It's called the Brecksville Bridge. And there were three gentlemen who were caught and followed by the FBI, and the FBI supplied false explosives to them to see if they would actually go about exploding that bridge. They actually planted the explosives, stood by the FBI agents that were undercover, and pushed the button. They were members of Occupy Wall Street. They were not members of the Tea Party. Look it up, caller, and get some...
Hey, that's great. I'm not defending Occupy Wall Street. I, the extremes on both sides are irrational and go about their means to an end in irrational and illegal ways. I'm not defending Occupy Wall Street. I'm just saying Timothy McVeigh, if you read his statements of why he did it, you can go on and look at Tea Party rallies and find the same rhetoric in their speeches.
No.
That's all
no,
I said.
No, you will not, and that's a lie.
Yes, you will.
No, you
look
will not,
up.
Because I have yet to see any Tea Party people call for violent overthrow of the federal government.
Really? I would like you to give me one
example of violence at a Tea Party event anywhere in this country.
James Yeager, the gun control guy who said he'll fire the first bullet and people will start dying if Obama runs those executive orders on gun control.
You're colluding stuff. You're mixing stuff together. No, because you're talking about Chuck Yeager.
James Yeager.
I'm talking about James Yeager. He goes on television. He says that if you try to take my gun, I'll shoot you first.
Yeah.
And because
he
said
there'll be a civil war.
Hold on. Because I said if I stand inside of a driveway, I'm a car. You're going to say that everybody who looks like me thinks that now they're an automobile. You follow where I'm coming from?
No, I'm saying James Yeager espouses the Tea Party ideals, and then when he goes all rogue and says, oh, I'm going to shoot people, he's not a Tea Party guy.
But the Tea Party doesn't have a registry. Not like that. I mean, it's not like if you show up, you'll be a part of the Tea Party.
Tracy, Tracy, this is a part of the problem. This is what really bugs me, okay? You've got individuals that have no idea what the Tea Party is all about, and the first thing they want to do is attribute violence to us. This doesn't make any sense. And you all, and then the news media, they sit behind and watch the TV, listen to what the talking heads say, and then they want to attribute it to us. Man, you need to go to a rally or sit down, shut up, have a Coke and a smile. That's all there is to it. Until you've been there and actually experienced what's going on, be quiet. Don't be spewing the rhetoric. You're lying.
And let me say this.
What's going on?
Caller, hold up. Listen, let me say this. As a person, I I've been to a Tea Party rally. I've spoken at a Tea Party rally. And what I'm saying is, I've had some friends that are really liberal, and they've come out and supported me, and they said it's not what we thought it was. What you've been taught on television and what you see does not always come up to the same measurement. You know what I mean?
Can I say something?
Well, you're doing a poor job of efficacying your image then. Your image is one of a bunch of tri-pointed hat guys. You know, basically, this Tea Party evolved over don't take my guns.
But that's not how the Tea Party evolved. The Tea Party evolved around big government.
Since Ronald Reagan? You mean when Ronald Reagan increased the size of the government? The big government's been increasing for 40 years, and the Tea Party hasn't done anything to stop it. I don't understand why I'm wasting my time at a rally.
Because we hadn't lost our shirt yet.
You're looking at it from the point of view. You want to talk about Ronald Reagan, you want to talk about everybody else. But we have never had a Barack Obama in office, and it has nothing to do with blacks. It's about his policies, and it's about the policies that he's putting in place to try and enslave every American.
Like the Patriot Act, right? Like the Patriot Act.
No. The Patriot Act has nowhere, in no way, shape, form, or fashion, compares to Obamacare at all, dude.
Yeah,
no,
right. The Patriot Act is the most invasive destroyer of liberty ever signed, and you guys just swallowed it whole because a Republican introduced it. That's why.
There
are aspects of the Patriot Act that I despise because it infringes on our liberties.
But where was the uproar when it was being introduced from the right? The left hated it. The left was saying these things.
You never listened to Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Mark Levin talking about that were in the Patriot Act. Okay? He said that even though it's a Republican president putting this out, we should be up in arms about it because it's going to bite us in the butt in the future. Okay?
Where were the Tea Party rallies during the Patriot Act time?
You understand that the rallies were taking place. The media, they weren't covering the rallies.
There was no such thing as a Tea Party during Bush administration. This is all created by the Republican Party to bring in those extreme right-wing guys.
Actually, Colin, the guy who is credited with starting this is Rick Santelli of CNBC. He's the first person to call for a tax day Tea Party.
I watch Rick Santelli every day. He's in the bond markets in Chicago. Okay, he did not start the Tea Party. He maybe coined that term. Is that what you're referring to?
No. Look it up. Rick Santelli Tea Party rant. In fact, I'll pull it up and see if we can play it for you.
I was watching it that day.
You're mixing up so many different things that one has nothing to do with the other.
Everything's connected.
In the efficacious state that you're saying, I understand. But
everything's connected except this. I wanted to make one comment.
You discuss it with us, and let's have an answer and a question and a question and an answer. Not you just rushing down trying to slam your liberal BS down my throat because I ain't buying
I had a question about a comment that you guys made about the shooters. These kids are possessed. That you said that these shooters
are
possessed.
What are they possessed by?
Are they possessed by demons or
spirit
spirits or
murder.
Something?
The Bible calls it a spirit of murder.
So what is that? Define a spirit like scientifically. Like how do we measure them possessed? Is it a possession?
Whoa! Listen. Cold-tailed way.
It's so strange to me that you guys believe in possession.
Hold on. Listen to this.
That's because you don't know nothing about it.
You can have a possession. When we say possession, you go straight to the exorcist and you start seeing her spin around and puke up green spew.
Right.
That's not what this is about.
Okay.
But if you look, you have to take away the fantasy from the reality. You see where there are people who are they're not the people that they're not the same as you would think they would be. They're enraged with something.
But that could be hormonal or chemical, it's not a possession.
Listen to what I'm saying. However it happens
However, whether it be hormonal, whether it be chemical imbalance, however it happens, there is a possession inside of a person. As a matter of fact, you see it when people are victims of domestic violence. And you see people who are possessed when they start drinking, when they become intoxicated, and they turn into a whole other being. Now, as I said, I'm not
equating
this.
Okay, but those are chemical reactions. There's scientific explanations for these things.
Hey, sweetie, I don't care how you become enraged.
Right, but when you're using the term possession, you're inferring exorcist-type terms.
When I say possession, if you are possessed with intoxication and it causes you to be this, yes, there's a problem there.
Right,
and
but it's not the
evil.
It's not some invisible supernatural force.
Listen, sweetheart, I didn't say the supernatural woo goose ghosty beast. I didn't say that. So don't put words there.
Well, you used the word possession.
That's right. And you went to the exorcist.
Well, that's what possession is. It's a biblical term. It's a religious term.
Listen, I don't care. It's not a biblical term. It's not. No, it's not. What I'm saying is, you can be possessed with a good personality.
I'm not using it like that.
But what I'm saying is possession, whether it comes from a demonic spirit or a spirit of alcohol or
Wait a minute. Alcohol is not a spirit. Spirit meaning like vodka's a spirit.
It's chemical.
It's not supernatural.
Hold on, you've never heard of alcohol being called spirit? Yes, South Carolina.
Listen, you know, I hear it on one end and on the other end. When you start talking about demon possession and you know, so on and so forth, but yet that's a right wing religious fanatic ideology. But yet on the other side, they can talk about out-of-body experiences and transcendental meditation and psychics and so on and so forth, and
that's
not
different.
Be an issue. That's different, okay? That's totally different in their eyes. But as long as you're talking, as long as they think you're talking about Jesus or God, it's definitely fanaticism. You got to shut that down. They got to shut it down quick.
I'm not for spiritualism or any of this nonsense that is not scientific. So don't put me in the camp of being to the far left of being some hippy-dippy guy from California as well as some Deep South Baptist.
You're good at talking, but very slow on listening. Being possessed is a very, very scientific state of being.
Where's the study? Show me studies on being possessed by a demon spirit.
We can't do this on the radio today, but I'll do it with you. If you would like to come to my email or my Facebook, I will explain it to you to the T and give you studies. But the paranormal is absolutely a very viable study. They're teaching it at universities now, even some of your big hoity-toity liberal
teaching about the supernatural.
Why do you think they have every show in the world on the supernatural, huh?
Well, because it's entertainment television, but you don't understand science because there is no such thing as the supernatural.
You don't understand science.
I'm going to take a break. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
The Rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. A woman's condition has been stabilized after she was attacked by a dog Saturday in Wellsville. 18-year-old Tina Springer of Hammondsville was bitten on the throat. The dog belongs to a next-door neighbor. Springer was flown to a hospital in Pittsburgh for treatment. A 42-year-old woman was arrested yesterday afternoon for firing shots in the 1300 block of Miami Avenue in Youngstown. Allison Whitaker did not injure anyone, but she was taken to Northside Medical Center. Kids were playing in the area at the time the shots were fired. Police recovered a handgun at the scene. The Ohio Department of Transportation is awarding $7.2 million for projects to help children safely walk or bicycle to school. The grants go to 58 projects The money will help with constructing or improving crosswalks and sidewalks and will support efforts to educate children about being safe on their way to school. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy.
Take DNA without a warrant in hopes of using it to solve old cases, in effect creating a nationwide DNA database. ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
In the 5-4 ruling, a mainly conservative majority of the court compares DNA cheek swabs to fingerprints and mugshots as minor intrusions. But in a caustic and often sarcastic dissent, Antonin Scalia breaks with his fellow conservatives, warning the ruling could lead to a national DNA database of anyone rightly or wrongly arrested.
A military prosecutor says Army PFC Bradley Manning dumped classified documents into enemy hands. That during opening statements in Manning's WikiLeaks trial, he's accused of the biggest leak of classified information in U.S. history. Firefighters in Southern California getting some help from Mother Nature in their battle against a huge wildfire burning about 30 miles north of Los Angeles. ABC's Alex Stone.
The help has come in the form of cloud cover and calmer wind. After a weekend of temperatures above 100 degrees, it's a break for firefighters.
So we're going to take advantage of these nice cool temperatures and the high humidities right now.
Fire Captain Mike McCormick says about 1,000 homes are still in danger. At least 6 have been destroyed. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Democratic Senator from New Jersey, Frank Lautenberg, was a driving force behind laws that banned smoking on flights and made 21 the drinking age in all 50 states. Lautenberg died this morning at a New York hospital at 89. New Jersey's Republican Governor Chris Christie, who will choose a successor, praised his political opponent.
Never was Senator Lautenberg to be underestimated. As an advocate for the causes that he believed in, and as an adversary in the political world.
Taking a look at Wall Street, the Dow is up 51 points. This is ABC News.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Here are two simple words that should make you reconsider waiting to buy a home. Buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,350. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 3.5%, APR 3.65%, that payment could support a $300,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6%, that same $1,350 mortgage payment, including principal and interest, may only be able to support a $225,000 mortgage. That's $75,000 worth of home that you're missing out on by waiting. That's buying power. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Give Quicken Loans a call today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com and maximize your buying power.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance costs. For cost information, equal housing lender license in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
A Maryland school teacher who lost a leg at the Boston Marathon bombings left the hospital today. ABC's Aaron Katursky with more.
Erica Brannick was at the Boston Marathon to watch her mother cross the finish line. The explosions took her left leg, and she required a dozen surgeries.
I kind of made the joke that you have to be good at something, so I guess I'm good at staying in the hospital.
She's the last marathon patient to leave Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. The preschool teacher took with her all the notes her students sent.
Every letter that I've gotten has helped me through this.
She's off to rehab now to learn to walk again. Aaron Katursky, ABC News.
Caffeine withdrawal is more than a headache. It's now classified as a psychiatric disorder. The latest edition of the American Psychiatric Association's diagnostic manual now includes caffeine withdrawal as a potential disorder with symptoms like headache, fatigue, difficulty concentrating, and a depressed mood. It all clears up on its own. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
The Valley's Medical Guide is now available at a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Mercer, Lawrence, and Columbiana counties. This medical guide is packed with useful health tips and a local physician's listing. Enter to win a $500 American Express card. Pick up your free copy at a local participating Walgreens pharmacy. Stop by a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Lawrence, Mercer, and Columbiana counties. Plus, a chance to win a $500 American Express card. Now at Walgreens, accepting most Express Scripts plans.
June is busting out all over, and we're busting out with our 26th anniversary sale. 26 years of satisfying thousands of customers says it all. And we're going to give you 26% off on all our great American-made WeatherTight windows, siding, entry and patio doors, kitchen cabinet facing, and roofing. 26% off. And if you stop in at 1596 Motor and Drive, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., We'll give you an extra special discount. MyWeatherTight.com or WeatherTightWindows.com gets you some more information and how to register for an extra percentage on your estimate. Senior military discounts, Energy Star approved. Check us out with the BBB. Don't forget, don't let anybody knock on your door and say you need your roof needs repaired or you need a new roof or siding because of storms. Call WeatherTech Windows first, and we'll give you the truth. So here's the number for the free estimate, 1-800-821-8483. That's 821-8483. And like always, guys, whether it be one window or a house full, WeatherTech replacement windows for the life of your house.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
You've heard it all before. Gold and silver prices are at record levels, and you've heard all the promises from the out-of-town companies saying they'll pay the highest prices. But can you really be sure?
Everybody says the same thing. It's spending in everyone's head, but where do you go? You go to First Choice Coin and Boardman, paying highest prices guaranteed.
Meet Tom, owner of First Choice Coin and Jewelry in Boardman, and he'll make sure you get the highest price for your unwanted gold or silver.
We pay the highest prices guaranteed. Check around, get your prices, and we guarantee we'll be the highest prices paid for your gold and silver.
And what makes First Choice different?
We're locally owned. We have many return customers. We have a lot of people that check prices, and they end up at our store. And we also offer jewelry repair, jewelry appraisals. We have a GIA graduate gemologist on staff.
First Choice Coin and Jewelry, 7807 Market Street in Boardman, next to Boardman Nissan. Call 330-629-9990. See store for gold guarantee details.
Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, we're back in. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Ooh. The number 347-945-5229. Do you guys have to hear that whole tone all the way through my break? Sorry about that.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm so sorry. There was somebody calling in, and I guess they hung up. It's open mic. And the young man called in. I think he's hung up. I don't know where he calls in periodically. But possession, you know, you got to understand there's all kinds. And that's the reason why they call alcohol spirits.
You know where he calls in from?
No.
The DNC.
No.
Am I hot?
Yeah?
Am I here? Am I on?
Yes, you are, Larry.
All right. Well, I love that caller because he does the standard liberal talk line on show me scientific evidence. However, those same liberals that want you to prove that there's scientific evidence of possession of how you described it, they either ignore it when it doesn't fit them like they've done with evolution. There's a missing link. We still haven't found it yet. Or they fudge the numbers like they did with the hockey stick graph and the International Panel on Climate Change, where they, you know, that's the liberal standard talking line. Well, show me the scientific evidence, and then when it doesn't support them, that's the two things they fall back on. They say we haven't found it yet, or they fudge the numbers to fit their hypothesis.
They also
do that all the time.
They also ignore things that were considered, like he was talking about paranormal and these other issues. They also ignore the fact that many of these things over the last 50, 60 years that used to be considered paranormal that are now either scientific fact or at least are being considered in the area of physics. Things like multi-dimensions, that used to be considered a thing of sci-fi. Well, it turns out that physicists are actually discovering that there's a possibility of multiple dimensions.
Quantum physics, but there's 19 measurable dimensions.
You're right. Right. Exactly. But it's still being put through the process is what I'm saying. There hasn't been a solid foundation of work yet because they're still trying to figure it out. If you've ever heard of something called quantum entanglement, this is where particles react no matter how far apart they are. They react exactly the same way and instantaneously, which adds some credence to extrasensory perception, which is now being considered as a scientific possibility because of the realization of quantum entanglement. So a lot of these things that people are saying, oh, that's crazy, well, you know what? All these other things are being proven and have been proven. What's going to happen down the line when we find these things to be true? Then what are you going to start calling people crazy about? Or are you just filled with hate?
I just found crazy on – I just – me and Stix just found – what was it crazy? What was that?
Rick Santelli.
No, that wasn't it. There was something else that we saw on the news that was crazy. We looked up or we looked over and something had just come in crazy, or somebody said something on the news that was crazy that they just did. What was it? Was it on the top of the hour news?
I didn't hear.
Yeah, that's right. What was it?
Oh, man.
While you're thinking of that one, I just wanted to say to Matt, have you ever heard of the creation particle? It's a nano piece of antimatter.
Is that the same particle they're calling the God particle?
Yes, the God particle.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay, whatever you're trying to do, it'll help you do it. That's the thing. If you have in your mind the thought that you're going to create the cure for cancer, it'll automatically go and start doing things with you to take you to that point. And they're calling it the God particle, and they don't know how to totally operate it yet, but it's there. And then all these things. Here, the Bible's been telling us for years.
Look, call your mic is on.
Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Mr. AP, I voted. Am I on the air?
Yes.
And I believe if it wasn't for liberal white, I feel as a black man, that we wouldn't have some form of equality, because they did march with Martin Luther King, and they did help us to gain some civil rights, and even up in the northern states.
Steve, get
those
to the point.
Liberals, Steve.
I'm trying to get to the point. I mean, I just don't agree.
You just went through a whole history lesson.
Steve? I agree with some conservative values, but I mean, I don't agree with all conservative values. I don't agree with the Tea Party.
Steve?
I think the Tea Party is a joke.
That's what you were told, Steve.
Steve, do you know that Mitt Romney's father marched with Martin Luther King?
No, he didn't. He marched for Martin Luther King.
I thought he marched with him also. I stand corrected.
Yeah, he did not march with him, but he organized his own march in Detroit, Michigan, in support of his march in the South.
Okay.
It was either the same day or right after or something like that. But Mitt Romney.
Liberal white people.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Liberal white folks ain't gave you a doggone thing.
I need some help here. Steve, gotta help me. What are you talking about?
I mean, I still appreciate what liberal whites have done.
What? What have they done?
Well, they are the ones who paved the way that we would have.
No, they didn't.
They helped, what's his name, Sidney Poitier. It was liberal whites that helped him to gain his notoriety. Yeah, even Sammy Davis Jr. was liberal whites that helped him to gain some.
When did Sammy Davis say that? He used to support all Republican candidates.
Where are you getting this stuff from?
Wasn't Frank Sinatra's, Dean Martin, all those guys, and even
Steve, because my patience is running slow. Dude, hey!
I wish my girl Dee was
hang up the phone.
Bye.
Jeez, so man.
He came on there to say that, and that's all he came to say.
I want y'all to know.
Wait a minute. Please understand, people. Liberal whites did not march in the civil rights light. Those were northern conservatives, that Republicans, that marched and fought for civil rights. It was not the liberals. The liberals weren't really doing anything at that time for people. They are progressive. They have their own agenda. Understand that.
In South Carolina, I think I just got hacked. I think I just got infiltrated with a bunch of folks. Do you notice that?
World.
South Carolina?
What is that?
Oh, I wish
what
I had
that?
My computer.
I think I'm just getting targeted.
You got your pad?
Yeah, South Carolina. You notice that? I'm not gonna touch.
I'm not gonna
touch a number that I don't know right now, because I got a feeling that all them people in there right now, in the chat room right now, something is wrong.
Dude, I told you. Dude, called you a minute ago. That was what he was about.
Yes, no, that's not what he was about. If you look at the chat room right now, that is not what he was about. I appreciate the liberal callers coming in. I have no problem with it, and because the media has really made the Tea Party to look as though they are
demons,
and you've never been, but because somebody told you so, you believe it.
Yeah.
And we need to understand that's what. Yeah, Alex. Well, hey, you put me on hold and didn't come back. What?
Sorry about that.
You act like it's a work day at noon.
Can I change your topic?
Yeah, go ahead, Alice. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask if people are really paying attention to this case. I think the company is called Myriad Bio. It's a biotech firm out of Utah, and right now they have a case being heard by the Supreme Court on whether or not they can patent human genes. Now, they've patented human genes that have isolated breast and ovarian cancer, and so they've been awarded the patent, I believe, for like 20 years, and they're being sued by other researchers and doctors saying it's invalid. And I think that this is – I don't think enough attention is being drawn to this issue, because – it goes to this, to the core of what is intellectual property, and I'm just wondering if you're paying attention, if you or your listeners are paying attention to that case.
I did, because I noticed that their shares went up when Angelina Jolie had a double mastectomy, because of she paid for the study, and the study showed that she would be, because of her family history, that there is a high probability that she would have cancer. And so I paid attention to what they were doing there, and it was really, really amazing to see how they orchestrated all that, along with the Supreme Court coming out and getting ready to take a ruling on it.
Do you think it's right or okay for a company to actually own human genes? Because
how can they own a human gene? I don't understand that.
They own that DNA sequence. They say that this is mine, and nobody can do any other research on it, even if it's for good medical purposes. Only they can use it.
Yeah, we're talking Brave New World stuff. We really are. That's what I mean.
When you say Brave New World, what are you talking about? Is that a movie?
It was a book first, and then it was a movie where you could go in and decide how intelligent your child was going to be. And,
genetic engineering.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you weren't
of a certain social caliber, you weren't allowed to have certain traits, because you were like, I think they called them the trogs maybe or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You were just an underclass person, so you weren't allowed, when your DNA sequence was done when you were conceived, you were only given certain DNA codes, so you could never go above that.
Mm-hmm. So man is becoming God?
Yes, yeah,
pretty much.
Just checking. Huh. So now, Alan, because I have issues with the whole I have issues with the DNA being, you swabbing me when you arrest me for a serious crime, because I need to know what serious means. And I've got some issues. DNA is a very, very resourceful tool, but it's very, very dangerous the way that they're taking it and the direction that they're going.
I think that even fingerprinting is just intrusive. But honestly, the fact that they allow fingerprinting for people who are merely arrested why can't you swab somebody?
Hey, can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do we know who holds these patents for these human genes?
Yeah, the company's called Myriad, M-Y-R-I-A-D. They're a biotech firm that does like cancer research and tied with big pharmaceutical companies, and so it's bigger than just patenting human genes. I mean, as a libertarian, you know, and when it comes to constitutional rights, we have property rights. But in recent years, we've introduced this idea of intellectual property. And I just wonder how valid that is, because it transcends everything. When you buy a music CD, is it really your property? You bought it, and so if it's your property, you're allowed to do anything you want with your property. But if you go copy and put it on the Internet, they can fine you and put you in jail. Whose property is it? You know, and this idea of intellectual property, I think, needs to be revisited.
Because it transcends anything.
If you can patent or say your property is any idea, then yeah, you can patent human genes, and it will go to Brave New World, like Styx was saying.
Well, intellectual property in and of itself is nothing new. I mean, it was set forth in the Constitution for patents and copyrights.
You can't.
But the delivery systems we have for people's intellectual property now is so different. It's so easy to steal it.
Right.
Well, that's the thing.
No, the
intellectual property
are used
from.
What did you say, South Carolina?
Sorry, I was just going to say that intellectual property used to be about patents. When you actually put in some work and you fund and undertake research and development, and then you assume all of the risks associated with that, and then you finally got, you know, you produce something, and this was supposed to secure your investment, hopefully ensure that you're able to benefit from it in some way, and protect you from other people stealing your investment, thereby encouraging other people to do the same thing you just finished doing. We're applying patent laws on discoveries. And let's just be very clear. When you discover something, you know, it's no more yours than having a star registered, you know, by your name. You know, that's just a figment of the imagination that we accept. The star has no connection to you just because you see it through a telescope and put your name on.
But DNA, that's a scary thing when you really think about it.
Well, it's also it's on this. I don't know who's arguing for the people, but they're not having my DNA. And if this is my DNA is useful, and they're taking it, then they need to pay me for my DNA, because that's mine. It belongs to me. It doesn't belong to them. And just because they took some of my property does not mean that they own it. Okay, and so they can't own me. So no. Not unless they are going to properly compensate me for it.
Well,
or my relatives.
Let's roll this into the Obamacare equation with the IRS running your health care now. So now you've got the technology, and you've got an IRS, Internal Revenue Service, that's going to be deciding who gets what. I mean, we've got some big issues here that we're going to be dealing with in the next few years, and it's scaring me, because I'm afraid if you're not on the right side of the political party or you don't have the right connections, you just might as well roll over and die.
347, your mic is on.
I think it was always. Hello?
Yes. Where are you calling from?
Yeah. 347.
Hey, 347, where are you calling from?
Oh, where am I calling from? Well, I'm actually in transit just outside of Toledo at the moment.
Okay. Well, good, nice having you. Go ahead. What was your comment?
I was going to say that the connections that you need to have, I mean, there's nothing new there. It's just that the effects of having those connections are going to be more granular instead of being simply broad. They're going to affect your life in a very granular way. But, yeah, it's definitely going in that direction. In fact, you have many people that you know, intelligent people, political thinkers that are baffled because at this point the variables simply can't be enumerated.
That's weird. You caught us. You caught us on the air. Or you caught us on iHeart.
I'm sorry. Can you say that again, please?
Did you catch us on air? Because we were trying to. Are you listening to us on terrestrial radio or are you listening on us in the internet?
On the internet. Actually, no.
Well,
I'm
glad to have
in. Thank you.
We're glad to have you. It causes great concern, but I don't think people are paying attention to what is going on with it. And if you looked at the stock prices of this company and Angelina Jolie and her coming out with a double mastectomy and then it going into the Supreme Court all at the same time, it was a nice little orchestration. And I don't think people paid attention to. I look at things a little bit different than everyone else.
I think you're actually. I think what you call different, I call lucid. you know, it wouldn't be the first time that something was, an idea was marketed using you know, different instruments, different people, different stages of introduction. So yeah, I'm with you 150%. I mean, the world sheeple. I mean, they're not going to see any of this coming. I mean, and it's interesting. There was someone. I don't know if it was you. I think it was someone that was talking about DNA being your proprietary property, right? It's yours. Well, this, you know, that's not something that's going to preclude companies from doing whatever they need to do. It's just going to be a matter of, yeah, at some point, somebody's going to get ticked off. There's going to be some kind of class action lawsuit. It's going to go through some court, and there's going to be some kind of compensation. For instance, you know, this happened with telecommunications back in '96. When the cell phone industry became explosive and the internet, there's all this taxation was applied to it. I don't remember what the legal action was undertaken, but the result of this was the Universal Services Administration program, and that was a program that was intended to take part of the Universal Services Tax. And that's a tax that's applied on telecommunications. So the Universal Service Administration company was going to administer different programs to return part of that money that's being collected as tax to the schools and libraries. There was a program at the time called E-Rate, which subsidized computers and internet connectivity in schools and libraries. Now, obviously, at that time, the majority of schools and libraries didn't have internet. So basically what they did here is they, you know, particularly speaking, put money from the right pocket into the left, right? They responded to the outcry against this taxation by creating more venues for taxation. And I think that's really what's going to happen here. I think, you know, people are going to cry out and say, well, you know, there's intellectual property. And I think that you're going to agree to some terms somewhere where you're going to receive some kind of benefit through some venue, be it, you know, municipal or health insurance or whatever, where some piece of fine print is going to say that what they're doing is okay. That's my take on it, at least.
You're probably right.
I agree. I agree with that.
Because all they have to do right after this big debacle we're getting ready to run into is tell you we'll give you health care if you let us use your DNA.
What do you mean give you health care? I already got health care. I got
it. No, you don't have it. You don't have it free either.
I mean, I already got health care.
Wait till January.
I got health care.
Wait till January.
I'm just saying, if you look at this, I mean, and when you look at this, I mean, look what they actually started practicing with dogs when we had designer dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been practicing for a very, very long time.
Well,
and if you talk to people who deal, South Carolina.
I mean, you know, speaking of the country brought up healthcare. You know, why are they lying about the cost, the actual cost of health insurance in California? They said there's only a 2% increase. As it turns out, it's over 102% increase in the premium.
Because I forgot about the first part of the story. Sometimes, as I travel, I forget about the first part. You know, because I'm getting old, so I can only tell you the end. So the 100, I just got to the 2. I mean, I'm just saying we have some serious major issues, and. And when you look at healthcare, when you look at merit and DNA and them actually owning your DNA and actually owning a part of it, so that if some I don't know if Alex or somebody wants to speak to it, so people that will know, it is a DNA strand. Am I correct? This is a part of every human being.
Yes.
They're just trying to actually say they take ownership on because they found it.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
Am I correct?
How can they own something? How come they own something that already belongs to somebody?
They're not saying that they own something that belongs to you.
Well, okay, but what they're saying is, they're not saying that they own the gene that you're carrying that makes it so that you have brown eyes. That's not what they're saying. They're saying that, you know, they do some research and they've identified a gene that causes, second stage mammarian breast cancer, okay? And that identification, that pattern, now, just to be clear, I mean, they spend enormous sums. I mean, enormous amounts of money to research this. And they go through all kinds of control groups and all kinds of testing series rounds. I actually have a friend whose father used to work for a major pharmaceuticals company. He used to do their clinical trials in one area. He's retired now, but I've gotten a bit of an insider scoop on how that works. And it's very, very expensive, and the majority of these things fail. So what they do is that, you know, they'll fund, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 such efforts, and then one will succeed, and that one will essentially compensate them for the other 29 that fell through. And that's the argument that they're making. They're saying, well, if we've identified this gene and you want to tackle this gene with a drug or with some kind of therapy, you're using information that we funded. You know, and there is some truth to that. I don't think you can take it away from them entirely.
I understand what you're saying. Then they're going to have to protect something else, but they can't protect the actual piece of the human being. And that's what the problem is.
But we're talking about reprogrammed genes, I think, is what we're talking about. We're talking about reprogrammed genes, and that's a different ball of wax than taking a gene from you and saying and doing something with it.
Listen, I got to take a break. South Carolina, I'm going to leave the lines on during the break, and I'm going to turn the commercials out. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here.
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Everyone's here. So what you're saying is they're trying to patent the process.
Well, think about it. This is greater than the process.
So,
I mean, that would be valid if they just wanted to patent the process of how they isolated it or how they want to manipulate genes. That would be perfectly valid to patent. But that's not what they want to patent, that DNA sequence. That's what they want to patent.
No. If they were talking about patenting the process, how they do it, I could see that. That's like Coca-Cola patenting their formula or however they, you know, the little secret way they put it in the bottle. But if they're talking about owning a DNA sequence, that's crazy. First of all, how did they manipulate the sequence to get it to what they want? If that's so, I thought that was illegal.
Well, but that's exactly the point. You see, what they're doing is, first of all, there are several sides to this. Okay? No one is taking possession of the genes that are inside the nuclei of your cells. No one's taking possession of that. No one needs that. Okay. What they're doing is they're synthesizing genes that they can introduce into your body to treat you for certain cancers, to treat you for certain congenital heart defects. To reverse aging in some ways, to treat
smart bugs.
Exactly. Well, the smart bug, the point of the smart bug is that the best way to infiltrate your cells is using a virus, because a virus is most effective. So what they do is they remove the genetic information from a virus, put in their synthesized gene, and use the virus as the bullet, as the warhead. That carries the payload, which is their synthetic genes. Now, I just want to point one thing out really quickly. This is not limited to gene therapy. I mean, what Monsanto is doing And what you have with these genetically modified species of corn and rice and soy is exactly the same thing. They've developed genes that make it so that this, this stalk of corn produces a substance that, that kills bugs. So just bear in mind, it's not limited. It's not limited to the human body.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's why I was saying that it's this is very, this case is it's larger than just human genes. I think it calls into question all intellectual property. Like, what exactly is property? Can you?
Exactly.
It's one thing that to be able to patent a process, but to call ownership on a biological organism. I don't know.
That's kind of freaky, man.
Welcome to Noah's Blood.
If they own it, they can sell it. If you need it, you can buy it, and they can demand exorbitant prices for the same.
Yeah, but why is that any different than drugs? They do that today.
That's true, but not to the extreme. Man, we can grow you another kidney. Hey, you know, that sounds eerily like, what was that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? Not Total Recall, it's the other one.
Total Recall,
6 Day?
That's it.
It's a 6 Day. Where the guy...
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Cloning.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the test tube baby and folks were having a fit over that. So now what's going to happen is you'll be able to clone your wife dies and they can reproduce her again.
Well, transfer of consciousness. They haven't even scratched. They can't even write those words down on paper, much less actually contemplate it. They'd love to, but that's really the final frontier. It's not synthesizing, because ultimately, when you clone somebody, what you're doing is mechanical. Okay, what you're doing is you're tapping into the cells, the apparatus that makes cells differentiate themselves from other cells and reproduce, which is known as meiotic and mitotic cell division. That's all you're really tapping into. Consciousness, listen, I'm agnostic, and I got to tell you, that's as close to God as I can contemplate.
I think it's coming, though. We're just, because a lot of times we'll see, a lot of times when it comes to scientific breakthroughs, it just takes one or two to open up a whole new world of possibilities, and that's I think we're about due for, when you look at the history of science and the different breakthroughs that occur, we're about due for some breakthroughs. I mean, they're about to have a major breakthrough on aging, just a lot of different things. So you never know because sometimes I look at some of the research at these universities, and people are studying that, how to pass on memories and things like that. And it just takes one solid breakthrough, and then all the journal articles are going to be changing.
you know what's funny is a lot of the processes are understood. I mean, they know that these things exist. All this new science that came out, they just don't know how to control it yet. Once we get that idea of how to control these processes, I think that's where those breakthroughs are going to come out.
Well, I mean, consciousness is really, like I said, it's a final frontier. I don't think that I've never come across a single article. I've never come across anything, not a single shred of information outside of the work of legends that even, it's got any kind of handle or you can't characterize consciousness, human consciousness, what makes you you. They'd love
right,
to do that. They can reproduce your thumb and they can grow you another kidney,
Right, but you'll never be in another body being you again.
Are
y'all talking about cloning? Do you think that's going to happen?
I think it already has.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to say that we're way past cloning.
No, that was cloning of a cow.
No, baby. No, come on.
No, we were talking about
human beings.
we were talking about actual consciousness. We were talking about the human consciousness, and the gentleman makes a point. We're not close to ever scratching the surface on actually being able to reproduce somebody's consciousness into another body or form.
Well, what Ray Kurzweil, he's one of the leading futurists, believes is going to happen is they will actually download your consciousness into a machine.
Even that's a copy.
That was
you.
A movie, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that was the sixth day.
You've already done it.
What'd you say?
It's not the same, is what he's saying. That's just copying something. It's not actually transplanting something or growing something. It's actually copying it.
In order to transfer consciousness, you have to first determine what consciousness is. In effect, I mean, let's not kid ourselves, the task is to identify and isolate the human soul. Good luck.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That is the goal.
Yep.
That's scary, ain't it?
I'm telling you.
That's scary. That's scary that they would even attempt to do that. Go ahead, Alex.
I was just going to say, once you do that, then you have pretty much immortality.
Okay,
now I have a question. Now I got a question for you guys, and you guys, you know, maybe I'm, you know, I'm really slow, but we're having a problem with population control and Social Security and all that kind of stuff now because people are living longer, and they weren't expecting life expectancy to be as long as it is right now. So now, if you don't die, what does that do?
It makes you have to figure out ways to support the rest of the people that are here.
What'd you say, Alex?
Well, you're never going to have that. You're never going to have a situation where you don't die just because economically it doesn't make any sense. You cannot have life. You can't have light without darkness. You cannot have life without death. One loses perception of value. So what you do is you start creating a sliding scale. You start deciding, you know, who lives or dies at what point. We don't call it dying anymore. We call it bankruptcy. We call it expiration. We call it something else.
You are the man.
Logan's Run.
Whoa.
It's like me.
Logan's Run.
Is that another movie?
Yeah.
You guys watch too much TV.
I don't have any TV stuff
on that, though.
What's that?
I think we will get to that point where people may not be able to transfer their consciousness, but will be able to regenerate their bodies or body parts and slow down aging to a point where people will be able to live to the age of, like, Methuselah or whatever. And so what I think is going to happen is you're just going to have to start colonizing other planets. I mean, I think that's just what it is. We're going to go out to first maybe Mars, and then we see there's thousands of other planets that we already know about that are about the age of Earth and habitable just like Earth, or potentially habitable like Earth. And I think that's just what's going to happen. People are going to start living longer and longer, and we're going to start colonizing planets and moving out. It's going to be some real Star Wars stuff.
Well, bear this in mind also. It's interesting that you make that point about, you know, right, there's always that door number two, right? If we can't isolate and extract the human soul and transfer it, then maybe we could extend the longevity of the body. Keep in mind that the human brain can live 3, 4, 5, 6 times longer than the body. The human body dies, you know, deteriorates or falls due to ailments, you know, typically somewhere between 50 and 80 years. Most people that you hear died, it's not because of a brain-related failure. And even conditions like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are usually related to things that you've consumed throughout your lifetime. It's not always degenerative, genetically degenerative. So don't be surprised if you start having this brain in a vat thing. When the body dies, the brain is removed. I think that brain transplants are really, I think that's really going to be the final frontier. I just don't see extracting the human soul, transferring consciousness. I don't think we're even having that conversation. it's just so beyond us. So I think that we're going to be looking at some pretty gruesome breakthroughs, if you want to call it that.
That's deep. What do you do, caller?
I write software.
Okay, very well.
But I mean, I see some of the stuff that's being out there. You see this what's called human interfaces, which are ways of controlling computer hardware, right? So you had, you know, the keyboard and then the mouse, and now there are companies that are trying to create ways of interfacing with your mind. Not putting electrodes in your brain or anything like that, but basically when you think, depending on what you know what you're thinking about, there's electrical conductivity that occurs in different areas of your cranium, and they're trying to isolate those currents and turn them into commands and keys. So we're still in the realm of the mechanical. Let's be clear. This is all mechanical. This is still all bolts, nuts and bolts and wrenches. You're not doing anything godly. I mean, to be able, like I said, to be able to isolate the electrical impulses to the human soul, I mean, you can do that. Yeah, that's it. Man has broken the threshold of godliness. Yeah. But
let me ask you this, because when you mentioned that, and I'm looking at, I've been checking out the new Google Glasses, and I know that, you know, when I look at what's going on and with the computer age and the sensory perception and all that kind of stuff, and they actually bring neurologists in to software companies so that they can condition how the mind works, so they can condition how to write software.
You mean map how the mind works?
Yeah, they want to.
Correct.
Electrical
maps of the mind.
Right.
Yeah. And that's how a lot of our. And I know that's how Google actually is so profound. They have some of the best neurologists in the world.
Sure.
That work with this company to so that they can know how to map us, pattern us, track us, and deal with what we search. How are we going to deal with all? I mean, this is some crazy woo.
Tracy.
You know, Twilight Zone stuff.
Yeah, well,
Tracy.
I mean.
Yeah.
I was in a toy store a couple years ago, and they had this thing set up, and it was a simple ball in a tube, and you would put these things on the sides of your head. I didn't do it because it was kind of freaky to me. It was neat, but freaky. But you would put these sensors on the side of your head, and you would sit there and just concentrate on that ball going up the tube. And I'll be darned if there wasn't people there that had tried it 6-7 times and were starting to get it to work.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, let's face it, we are machines. Mm-hmm. Our skeleton is, or our spine per se, is a electrical
conduit.
Yeah, absolutely, a genius one. And our bodies are wired. That's why you can have a human body spontaneously combust. And so, you know, and I know a lot of people might not have heard of that, but it happens. Where somebody just goes up in smoke.
Yeah, I do it twice. I do it twice a day, Jeff.
I do it when I watch MSNBC. So
the two things that scare me about all of this is, one, when do we stop knowing if we're being manipulated or if it's our choice? And the other thing is, who chooses?
Well, let me.
Who chooses what? It's what, and how do we make sure that we're not being manipulated so that we create classes of people as soon as they're born?
We already have.
Born.
We already have. Remember, we talked with this about African Americans and inner city and systemic poverty and the pilot program.
Right.
Remember, people are mobilized to do what they choose. So we have the young man, Trevor Martin and Zimmerman, and they get mobilized to get excited about something, and then all of a sudden they retreat. They get mobilized to vote in certain elections, but they don't get mobilized to vote in all elections.
Yep.
And the mobilization is who's controlling whom. And they do this, and they're practicing on the impoverished of the impoverished of America, whether it be black or white. And people have no idea. They go into a room and think they are actually a part of the process, and they're actually just following someone else's lead that's invisible, that's not there.
Well, let's not forget the fact that the choice is essentially subjective. I mean, I could probably ask me, you know, 3, 4, 5 people on this line, and I would challenge anyone here to tell me where in this great state of Ohio I can go and buy one glass of raw milk, or where I can get one spoonful of raw honey. And you'll find that while, you know, maybe...
You can get it here in South Cackalack.
You can get it here, too.
Well, no, he said one glass.
You mean buy one glass?
If I wanted to buy a glass of milk...
No,
you can't.
Go out and sit down and buy one glass of milk that has not been altered.
The replicator from Star Trek.
Well, that, I think it's probably the closest thing because we're dealing with centralization. Centralization of our food chain, centralization of our manufacturing, centralization of production, centralization of distribution. Why not centralization of thoughts? Why not centralization of political views? Why not centralization of ambitions and goals? Think about it. You're basically just a herd of cattle, one by one, walking through the pen. That's what humanity is. I mean, that's what we are. That is the great Western experiment. If you look at the difference between, for instance, capitalism, socialism, and national socialism, it's so obvious that one builds on the other. If you look at the roots of national socialism, which is Nazi Germany, right, National Socialist Party, if you look at the difference between national socialism, which was implemented in Germany, which was socialism based on nationality, and if you look at the Soviet Union, which is just plain socialism, which is a socialism based on ideology, you ask yourself, well, why is it that, you know, Nazism took hold in Germany and communism, or that flavor of it took hold, you know, in Russia, in the Soviet Union? And the answer is, like, it's clear as daylight, because in Germany, the overwhelming majority of people were Aryans. They were blonde hair and blue eyes. So it's really easy to sell it there because the land is fertile for it. I look like you, and he doesn't look like us. Really simple. In the Soviet Union, you couldn't do that because you had all of the you'd amalgamated all of these Asiatic Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and parts of Moldova, which used to be Rome and Gypsies and all that. That wouldn't fly. So you had to sell a socialization based on something else. And they've learned from it. Now in the United States, we have, you know, in the Western world we have capitalism. And capitalism is basically a political unification based on greed.
I'm Mark
LaVoy.
Wow.
This is good.
That's good.
Yeah.
This is real good.
Hey, listen, I thank you for calling in today. Between you and Alex, and you guys have brought a depth of conversation that is really substantive. It really makes, it's something to chew on because it's very, very real.
Oh, yeah.
More so than this is not normal conversation that people are really paying attention to.
This is not normal conversation. People can't even process it.
Say that again. If you were to sit down, what?
If you were to sit down and present these ideas to people, if you were to invite 100 people into a town hall meeting, and you tell them, ladies and gentlemen, take off your clothes, take off all your clothes and sit down. The ones that will actually remove their clothes and sit in the chair, you may have a chance with. But other people, they're so indoctrinated, they're so beholden to their beliefs because that's their security, that's their sense of, that gives them their sense of spatial orientation.
You're right.
So let me ask you this: what are your thoughts on waking people up? How do we shake the fruit? I'm serious. Shake the fruit from
the
tree
once before.
So that we can creep.
We had this once before. Nobody thinks of it in this sense, but we've had this already. And that was, and again, I just want to point this out. I am agnostic. I do not believe in Jesus Christ or Moses. I respect everyone that does. I just don't. And I will tell you that my solution to this is Noah's Ark. There is no solution. This is a systemic. There's no way to solve this because you're talking about a system that uses human beings as batteries, and they don't have to be batteries in the literal sense, like, you know, they power some machine like in the Matrix, batteries in the sense that human beings have a role. We are an ant colony. We are guided. We have false icons like Justin Bieber and the Pope of Rome, you know, respectfully to all the Catholics, and Beyonce. Right. Okay, so,
yeah, she told us to hate men last night.
Right. Well, there's going to be a lot of guys that didn't get any last night because of that, and they're really not going to like Beyonce.
it sounds to me like you're saying the answer is we need to promote individualism over collectivism.
There's a very simple rule here. See, we human beings are a very arrogant species. We create problems, and then we look to ourselves to solve the problems because clearly there's no one else, right? We're at the top of the food chain. Wrong. We're not. There is a system in place, whether you call it God or Mother Nature or whatever, that says the trees do not grow into the sky. Okay?
Right.
And there's the same system here. I got to tell you, I live in New York City, and I remember what happened to great New York City during Hurricane Sandy. And anyone that's ever seen a hurricane in their lives will tell you that Hurricane Sandy was a little drizzle. It was nothing. They called it a hurricane so people could claim things on their insurance. That's the only reason they called it. It was barely a tropical storm. They bumped it up to Cat 1. It wasn't even that. Ultimately, all of this control, all of these developments depend on certain things that are outside of our control. That's Mother Nature. When you build city states like New York, like Los Angeles, like Paris, like Mexico, like Tokyo, it's just a question of time. City-states are not a natural – city-states don't evolve naturally. Naturally, people have towns and villages. Things are far more things exist in nature on a smaller scale. When you try to when you try to have everyone living in one place, your system of life is dependent on centralized provision of goods, centralized removal of waste. You're incredibly energy dependent. It's just a question of time. So the answer is, if you want to see the system fall apart, I tell everybody, get themselves a big pail of popcorn and sit back and wait.
Hey, listen, hold on. Local call, your mic is on. I got to go in a minute.
I know. Tracy, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, the caller that's on right now, if I could just ask him a question.
Sure.
Okay, and not for him to get frustrated or anything, but I would just, in answer, why he does not believe in God and Jesus, what does he think is going to happen when he does pass? Where is him or his spirit going to go?
Well, I'm not offended at all. I'll tell you that I abstain from religious debates for one reason. It's not because I can't maintain the debate. And by maintaining the debate, I'm not trying to suggest that I have all the answers. I do not. I'm not suggesting that I can. You're asking some very profound questions, and I'm just a human being. I don't know. I can't give you the answers to these universal questions. However, what I can tell you is this. I fervently support people of faith. I fervently support people that go to church and synagogue and the mosque and whatever, and people that raise their families with good sense and morals, because I don't have a better alternative to offer you.
Hey, now on that call, I'm going to tell you guys, I thank you so much. We'll be back here tomorrow. I'll be here tomorrow at noon. The number is 347-945-5229. It is 58 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock here on Monday. We want you to have a great day. It's a little chilly out here in Northeast Ohio, so put on a sweater. And we'll see you tomorrow. God bless and be careful.
The Valley's Medical Guide is now available at a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Mercer, Lawrence, and Columbiana counties. This medical guide is packed with useful health tips and a local physician's listing. Enter to win a $500 American Express card. Pick up your free copy at a local participating Walgreens pharmacy. Stop by a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Lawrence, Mercer, and Columbiana counties. Plus, a chance to win a $500 American Express card. Now at Walgreens.
The sound of your feet. Ow. All day.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and
WSOM, Salem Young.